about.
It's dumb, and I can't believe you guys are supporting it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Bill, you're gonna want to hear this, man. You're dying to hear this. I'm changing my name to Bob Toe. So, what do you think about that? Because change it to a Caucasian name. I'm thinking about changing my name to Bob Toe.
What the hell is going on here,
punk ass bitch?
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Doe Toe.
Woo!
You take requests.
Sure.
Please stop.
And now,
Kevin, Bean, wow. Kevin, Bean, Bean, shut up, Bean.
Our feature presentation.
I miss Bob Toe.
I miss Bob Toe also.
Doe Toe actually did change his name for a while to Bob Toe because he thought that Doe Toe was too Asian. And then he wouldn't get any work. He wouldn't be able to break into the entertainment industry. So he changed his name to Bob
Toe. which is the best part.
So great.
God, I loved talking to Doe Toe last week. It was so great to catch up with him. And I'm dying to know if he ended up asking that attorney out from the that he met at the airport and took her to the Olive Garden like he was planning.
Well, she did give him her business card. So
right. So that means she's already had that number changed.
Correct, yes.
Or it's either that or the Macaroni Grill.
That's right. Right?
Oh, I miss him so much. I can't wait till next summer when we catch up with him again.
He is the international man of mystery, that's for sure. Although, I've determined that Kevin is the new international man of mystery.
What? Really?
Kevin pretty much comes in whenever he wants. We've established that, right?
Yeah, true.
As of yesterday. Yesterday, because as you know, the giant anvil of doom is about to fall on the Kevin and Bean Show, Lisa. You know we're in our final hours here, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So yesterday, I think, well, I got to catch up with my boy Kevin, and I'll give him a call. So... And I know Kevin hates to be communicated with in any way.
Well, that's my goal, is that no one communicate with me
right
throughout the entire day. Yes.
So I thought, I'll send the dude an email. So I sent him an email, and nothing back. Right?
I responded last night.
Yeah, at 9-something last night, right? I sent the email at 11:30 yesterday morning.
All right.
So, wow. You know, it gets to be noon, gets to be 1, gets to be 2. I think, well, at some point, Kevin's going to check in, you know, producer Dave's going to have questions, or he's going to be wanting, you know, see what's going on with the show, something like that. Gets to be 2, gets to be 3, nothing. So I thought, well, I hate to do this. He's probably not going to answer, but I'll give him a call. So I call him on his cell phone, and of course, the mailbox you were calling is full and can no longer receive messages. So that's out, right?
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, what do I do now? So I texted him. So then I texted him and said, hey, dude, try to get a hold of you. Give me a call. Now it's like 4. Then it gets to be like 5. It gets to be like 6. Still nothing. Now I'm thinking just like yesterday morning. Is he dead? Is he in a coma? What's happening?
These are good questions. Absolutely.
Those are decent options for me, too, by the way.
Because he's the international man of mystery, too. So 7 o'clock last night, I think, well... He tweets. I'll try Twitter. So then I tweet looking for the Kevin Ryder. Where's the Kevin Ryder? Figure that might do it. Then it gets to be like 8 o'clock. I'm starting to think about going to bed. Still haven't heard a peep. Now that's unusual for a coworker, right, Lisa?
I would think so. I mean, I would get your text at least.
I mean, it's probably like 9 hours since I started trying to get in touch with the guy.
Four
right?
Times by then, yeah.
Right. So then I sent out a carrier pigeon and then a flaming arrow, and then the arrow hit the pigeon, and the pigeon burned up, and then I was depressed. So then eventually I went to bed at like 9.
9? Who goes to bed at 9?
Well, people who get up at 2:45, not people who sleep until 6.
So then I emailed him back.
At 9-something, right?
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Bean, you just didn't stay up late enough. It's all your fault.
I'm not your bitch.
It is my fault. 24/7,
24-hour call.
Well, it seems like there ought to be some way to get in touch with somebody that you work with. No?
Is it possible that I got all the emails and messages and didn't want to talk to you?
Who?
Well, believe me, of course I thought about that, too. But I figured with the anvil of doom, I figured at least you'd, you know, pick up that call.
That isn't what happened, but I'm just saying, is it possible?
So, I don't know. Lisa, you be the judge.
I think we have to call Linus from now on.
Mm. Oh, I should have dialed Linus, Kevin's personal assistant.
He'll be right there, Linus, and he will pass on the message.
He is responsible 24/7, yeah. So.
All right.
That's the answer.
That is the answer.
We need to get Linus on. I want Linus to describe what Kevin was doing yesterday while I was trying to get in touch with him.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Because I'm sure we would all be amused and entertained.
I like talking on the phone so little that I got a separate line for my wife because she talks on the phone all the time. And if I'm sitting right next to it, I will not answer it.
Let me ask you something.
Because it's for her.
If your mailbox is full, does that mean you haven't checked it in, I don't know, 50 days or something?
Well,
because
obviously
not a lot of people call you because you never call them back anyway.
Right.
So do you just not check?
No, what happened was I got a new phone, I don't know, 5 days ago or last week or something, something like that. And I just haven't set it up yet.
Okay.
I got around to setting it up yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I it's funny because I don't answer my phone at home either because the people I talk to call me on my cell phone. And so if the phone rings in the house, I know it's for my wife. So I'm not going to answer that.
Right,
I'm not her
exactly.
bitch. So, yeah. So I do the exact same thing. But at least if Kevin were trying to get in touch with me, I'd call him back. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I think you would.
Or text,
there'd
or maybe
way to get a hold of him.
What's your tweet or email?
There are so many ways to get a hold of someone now.
And then the poor dead pigeon. The whole thing is just sad.
That
all right, I got to save my story. I got another great story. We'll save for tomorrow. Please remind me at this time tomorrow. New story about men getting rings stuck on their penis and having to call the EMTs to have them come be removed.
Why does this keep happening?
I don't know.
Because y'all can't leave your junk alone.
But when it comes to, I've managed to, and I have like a 70 IQ.
No, you haven't managed to leave your junk alone. You've managed to remove the ring afterwards. That's right. The only difference there.
Yeah, you figure out how to do it so you don't have to go to the hospital.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What's going on? Is this some sort of interactive theater art piece?
That's what this is, yes. We have comedian Doug Benson coming in.
Yeah!
All right.
He's holding.
Now, we mainly have him in because he's holding. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. He's participating in the Weezer cruise.
I like that. I think that's been a very hot trend the last few years. These bands, by the way, who do something special by going out on a cruise, usually like 3, 4, 5 day cruise or something like that, and then they perform for their hardcore fans, and everybody gets an opportunity to meet them and get their picture taken, stuff like that. It's very leisurely and fun, and Weezer is the latest band that's doing it.
Pretty cool idea, right?
It is.
I love it. Yeah.
We have some more Miss Double D contestants coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. The one that's coming in next hour writes poetry.
Ooh.
So that's good.
Between poetry lady and spelling lady yesterday, what's happening?
Well,
you're supposed to put them on the glass. You're supposed to shake it for freedom. I mean, let's face it.
Hey,
there's
I'm
a template.
Have the terrorist one? Is that what you're saying?
They're beautiful and smart.
No, they don't have. We don't want them to be. They don't have to be smart.
But they are. They can't help it.
We don't give them an IQ test. Come on now. You have to be smart to be on this show. But you know what I think it is, Bean? Is honestly, I think they haven't participated in a lot of this kind of thing, and so they go, "Oh, what's my talent? I don't know." And they don't think, "What should my talent be?"
Right. Your talent. You should be thinking, ladies. Maybe it's too late for some of you, but you should be thinking, "Hey, I'm going to be on stage in front of 1,000 drunk people Friday morning. What's going to make them like me?" That's what your talent should be.
And she said, "Poetry."
To get out votes. Yeah. And she said, "I'm going to write a poem."
All right.
And that usually doesn't work well, but we'll find out.
Okay.
We'll find out. We're going to make fun of me, apparently, coming up because I'm the best and I have the greatest plans and the greatest way of living my life.
Oh, we have a special break for that. You should just do it throughout the show.
Yeah, no, this is a very special
break.
All
right, good.
We have Army Specialist No Teeth in today. Very excited about that.
Dan. He prefers to be known by his name, Dan.
Oh, his name is Dan? Okay, I wasn't aware what his name was.
Apparently lost his teeth fighting Charlie, and now he can't get them fixed because the Veterans Administration is refusing to do so, even though it was a combat injury. And that seems wrong, and that seems like something we'd like to try to help him with.
Why was Charlie in Iraq?
I'm confused by this whole story.
Charlie is everywhere, man.
They're cracking down on Occupy LA.
Yeah.
And everywhere else. Occupy every single place. And I think they're accomplishing a lot, though, so they should continue. we also have, we're going to talk to somebody from the Marines for Toys for Tots. We call it Toys for Tatas on Friday. We're asking everybody to bring down an unwrapped toy to the Miss Double D pageant, and you bring them down, the Marines will be there, and they will collect them.
Excellent.
And we have your tickets for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yay!
Matter of fact, we have your tickets coming up in the next hour.
Excellent. Excellent.
Along with throughout the day when you hear us tell you to call, you call. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's coming up next.
Don't forget, online voting now open at KROQ.com for Miss Double December 2012. You owe it to yourself to go online and take a look at the now 9 finalists vying to wear the crown next year. Vote for your favorite, and you can vote once per day, and then you can come down and see the show in person in Fullerton at the Slide Bar with a new unwrapped toy as the price of admission on Friday. If you can't make it down, be sure to watch on the webcam. Got another girl coming in less than an hour.
That's right.
Hey, Ralph Garman, how you doing, man?
Hey, Bean Baxter, how are you?
Doing
I'm right. Bob Toe. I need a man. I'm Bob Toe.
Yeah, as Bean mentioned, I'll give you a heads up. We have 9 contestants now from this W Summer. We lost one of our contestants.
Oh, she died?
She didn't die. Unfortunately, she had someone in her family actually pass away.
Yeah. Oh, so, no. So,
well, so well way done, to go, sir. Kevin. Yeah. Very sensitive.
Maybe you want to read your emails. Sorry. More than once a day.
Sorry about Kevin doesn't read emails. Stuff. Come on.
You know that. Not.
I didn't know that.
No, she lost one of her family members, so she had to withdraw from the competition. So we wish Nellie the best, and she will be missed. We wish she could participate, but maybe next year. So we're just going with the 9, and so that narrows the field just a touch for Friday's competition. But don't forget that you decide who Miss Double December will be to represent you here at the Kevin and Bean family. So make sure you get on the website at krock.com and vote.
And that's a very important decision to be made, because look what happened with Christine. She's Miss Double D, and then all of a sudden you're following someone on Twitter who tweets practically naked pictures every week.
Yes.
So if we can hope for the same thing for the new girl, then
everybody wins. Everybody wins. I realize that everything that's wrong with Kevin can be traced back to his birth state.
How dare you?
I realized as I was reading this story, I said, well, that makes sense. That sounds just like Kevin. An Arizona gun club is charging just $10 for kids to have their pictures taken with Santa while holding their choice of a variety of weapons, from pistols to machine guns. Doesn't that sound like Kevin?
It does.
Just personified?
That's awesome.
That is just reeks of Kevin. Of course, Kevin would give them loaded automatic weapons and some illegal fireworks and probably some alcohol and
that
tobacco.
That is sweet.
It's not sweet.
Yes, it is.
Kids don't need to be holding guns on Santa's lap. It's not necessary. Not part of the season, as far as I'm concerned. I don't remember any AK-47s being at the manger.
You didn't grow up in Phoenix, man.
Yeah, I know.
The mean streets of Phoenix.
I know that the great state of Washington says I'm not allowed to have children anywhere near me, but I'm telling you, if I did, I would take them down to Santa and get a picture with a gun on the lap. I would do that. It's awesome.
So much wrong.
That is awesome.
Both of you. You just said you could trace it back to where Kevin comes from. this is a fascinating story. Advertising Age has released their list of what they believe to be the 10 best commercials of 2011. Now, here's the thing. Most of us don't watch the commercials much anymore. In the age of the DVR, I mean, when's the last time you actually sat through a show that wasn't a sporting event or something where you actually had to pay attention to the commercials?
I watch all of the commercials because they're what pay for my entertainment.
Well, no, radio commercials are good. That's right. All I'm saying. Television commercials. I thought this was interesting that they're still, I think they have to work harder now to be more clever and more entertaining because they tend to, have a harder time catching your attention.
Keep your attention.
Well, I think, and that's why I think we're seeing a lot more product placement in television commercials. I mean, for God's sakes, you can't watch an episode of Parenthood, Lisa back me up on this, without 5 different scenes where somebody's looking at an iPad or an iPhone. It's crazy how much they're integrating now. And I guess that exactly for the reason you described, Ralph.
So here's the top 10 best commercials of 2011, according to Advertising Age, which, of course, is the leading publication for the advertising business.
Okay.
It's funny. As little as I watch commercials, I think I've seen most of these and agree. They were very entertaining. Wow. Number 10 was the Snickers Focus Group for Snickers Candy Bar. You ever seen the one where the sharks are discussing which person tasted better?
Oh, no.
The sharks are sitting at a conference table. And the woman says, okay, did you like Bob better or Brenda? Oh, I like Bob. He was chewy. He tasted like peanut butter. I like he ate a Snickers before you ate him. It was a very, very clever spot. The Nissan Leaf commercial where everything is gas-powered in the world. All the engines, like an engine on your hairdryer and on your computer at work and stuff. And everything makes me choke just looking at it. Let me just jump through to some of the more interesting ones. Chipotle, back to the start. Seen that one with the farmer who industrializes his operation, had a crisis of conscience, goes back to the old way of doing things.
Oh, no,
free-range animals and no chemicals and okay. stuff like that. Chipotle is a big advocate of
green. Then he goes under.
Sustainable farming. Then he goes out of business. But number one, the best commercial of 2011, in your opinion.
Can I guess?
It was beer mug's commercial for Oktoberfest, according to Advertising Age.
What was the best one?
When I say it, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I should have thought of that. Any guesses what the best commercial of 2011 was?
Any of them.
We're going to say, oh, yeah, I should have thought of that.
It caused a big ruckus. Everybody was talking about.
Was it a Super Bowl commercial?
I believe, a Super Bowl commercial. Yeah, but it's run all year long.
The little kid that played Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's the Force. Absolutely, wow. Kevin, for Volkswagen. Yeah.
Kevin remembered something that happened in February?
I know.
I've never won a game like this before in my life.
The little kid who tries to move stuff with his mind like Darth does in a little Darth Vader costume.
Wow.
Best that commercial was so cute. Of the year. It was cute, and everybody did talk about it and loved it and continues to. Evan has got over 44 million views on YouTube, that commercial, by
what?
The way. Yeah.
What was it selling, Ralph?
Yeah, who knows? Little children, I think.
Selling little children. Yes. Little children who should be on Santa's lap with AK-47s.
Because as good as the commercial is, if I don't know what kind of car it was for, it failed.
I guess that's true.
It was a car commercial.
I knew when I saw the title of the piece. I remember.
It was for Volkswagen.
It was for Volkswagen, yes.
So I'm being told.
Oh, Kevin, he could have totally claimed the knowledge of that. We wouldn't have.
I thought Kevin just ran the table. I was just
but I got the little kid. I got that. Come on now.
Yeah. Speaking of little kids, tonight the holiday classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer returns on CBS. My favorite holiday classic.
You know, my favorite holiday classic comes on after that.
The Victoria's Secret Fashion Show?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know why? Because Maroon 5 is playing Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. And I don't know if you folks at home know this or not. Kevin is a huge Maroon 5 fan. Constantly here around the station, he's always asking us to give them some love.
I don't.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5. Always asking us to do it, so we do it every chance we get.
It's funny, when I was announcing the Grammys one year, Ralph pulled me aside and said, why do you do that? You hate every band that you introduce.
So I said,
that's hard to argue with.
It's really not your event. And there's a new Q in James Bond's world. Q, of course, the technical wizard who gives 007 all his cool gadgets and stuff. Which, for me, as much as I enjoyed the Daniel Craig Bond films so far, the two of them, they didn't really feel like Bond films to me. They were kind of because they were missing a certain fun and panache that the Bond films had with some gadgets and some more light adventure and stuff like that. I mean, they were good action films. They didn't feel very Bondy to me. So I'm glad to see the character Q is returning to the fold. Brand new Q, an actor named Ben Whishaw will be the new Q. He's just 31 years old. He starred in a BBC miniseries that I watched on BBC America called The Hour, which was about British television news back in the 50s. Great, great miniseries, and he was great in it. So he will be the new Q in the upcoming Skyfall, new 23rd James Bond movie.
Is that the role that John Cleese had?
Yeah. Cleese did it for Pierce Brosnan. After Desmond Llewellyn passed away, the original Q. And remember we talked to, being you and I think, interviewed Desmond Llewellyn on the red carpet of his final James Bond movie.
We did, yes.
It was his final interview. I think he died like mere days later after we talked to him.
Because of your interview?
Not because of the interview, no. He was an elderly gentleman, but very, very kind and very nice. And we had his final interview for Q of the entire James Bond series. He worked with Roger Moore and Sean Connery.
How about that?
And then Lightning lost it.
Yes,
he lost it.
Did not have the tape. He was dead like a week later. We said, well, at least we've
perfect.
Got the tape.
We've got his last interview. Can we put that up?
I don't know where that is. I can't find that video, that audio. So,
yeah. The unheard audio. Every time I think of Q, I think of the fact that we never were able to play our interview with him. Today's celebrity birthdays, L.A. Dodgers legend Vin Scully.
Yeah! Vin Scully. Chavez Ravine. Farmer John. Vin Scully.
I hate baseball, but when I come across Vin Scully, you have to listen for a few minutes just to go, wow, that guy really is talented.
Still got it at 84 years old, by the way.
84?
Still does all the Dodgers games.
Man.
Remarkable.
He's been working for the Dodgers for 62 years now.
Well, in all honesty, he calls a couple of pitches per six innings. But other than that, he's still fantastic.
It's 84.
Trust me, I know.
What are you going to do at 84? I never...
Guns and Children and Santa. Tapioca, please.
That's what Kevin will be doing at the home. Gary Shandling, comedian, 62 years old. he'd be 82. Howie Mandel is 56. Kim Delaney from NYPD Blue and currently on Army Wives. She's 50 years old. Actor Tom Sizemore turns 50. Don Cheadle is 47. Brian Baumgartner, Kevin from The Office, another Kevin, is 39 years old today. Our buddy Anna Faris from the Scary Movie franchise and many other films is 35. And The Game celebrates his 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7 minutes after 6.
How about your choice of nights for the sold-out 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert? We got that for you in less than an hour from right now. Your chance to win those tickets. Do you want to go night one with Blink-182 and Bush at the top? Or do you want to go night number two, which has Noel Gallagher and Jane's Addiction at the top? So,
don't forget about us.
And Mumford, too.
Singing lots of songs just like this one. Just like this one.
Ralph, what's your understanding of what Kevin's got going on at home on the weekends?
Kevin is honked up.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you being honked up.
Oh, okay.
Kevin leaves concerts early so that the hit song that the band plays is the last thing in his ears as he walks to his car in the parking lot.
My favorite song, and that way I guarantee that ends on a high note.
He leaves the sporting events early so he doesn't see the opposing team come back and beat his team.
If my team's ahead. If my team's behind, I don't.
He'll just walk out of the event so he doesn't have to witness anything bad.
Right. So if my team's ahead and the time's running down, all that can happen is either we score another goal and still win.
All that happens at the end of the event, they've won, and you get to celebrate with the other fans and celebrate the victory.
Well, I do like, for example, at the Galaxy. I stayed for that. It was a championship. They had the big championship trophy presentation. I stayed for the whole thing. But in a normal situation, I go to enough games that I don't want to get stuck in traffic, and then I'm always here by like 4:30 to get prepped for
the show. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're Mr. Punctual when it comes to your employment.
That's
difficult. So then we find out also on the weekends.
Not all weekends.
Sometimes Kevin has a game he plays called Opposite Weekend.
It's not a game.
Where he does the opposite of everything he usually does. He does it all weekend. And we're trying to decipher exactly what goes on inside that tiny little brain that makes this a good idea.
Let me ask a question. Is there anybody on this show that you consider to be more narrow-minded than me?
No. No.
I like the same type of TV shows, the same type of music.
Yes. Okay. You are not open to new things.
I am if they're like the things I like.
How do you know you like them if they are new and you have not done them?
That's where this comes in. So I have opposite weekends. That's what I call opposite weekends.
Okay.
Uh-huh. This is my way of getting out of my rut. I'm in a rut. Okay, fine. Opposite weekends. Starting Friday after the show, all the way through Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
I don't listen to that music, and I don't go see those movies.
What do you do?
Anything else. I choose something outside of my comfort range. Now, I would think that would make you guys happy. Like, hey, he's at least trying. He's acknowledging.
Interesting.
But it's not a legitimate way to expose yourself to new things.
Of course it is.
That's going to change your life.
He's been expanded.
Exactly.
Well,
like Kevin now is a renaissance man. He goes, now he goes hang gliding and tastes the finest wines.
No, not wine, unless that'd be crazy. Yeah. But like, for example, for music, I love certain music and I listen to certain music all day long.
Right.
And I'm pretty narrow in the stuff that I like.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I love the Foo Fighters. I love Rage Against the Machine. Yes. I love, you know what I like. Anyway,
yes.
So I listen to the same kind of stuff. So whatever I do on an opposite weekend, I don't listen to that type of music. It doesn't matter what type. Sometimes I'll pick a theme. Sometimes it'll be a country music weekend, which would drive Rob out of his mind.
And do you find there are any songs you like?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. But I listen.
So he makes himself miserable and changes nothing.
He does things he doesn't want to do a weekend, right. And then nothing has changed in his life.
But if I find myself in a rut, I will, if I'm listening to any kind of music, I will listen to country music. If I'm going to a movie, I'll pick a movie that is like,
I don't know. But I had two other favorites that are ahead of that, but I'm not going to choose them because it's an opposite weekend. And I go see the, I don't know. And that way I open my eyes to things, choices that I wouldn't normally make.
You don't open your eyes.
I do.
All you do is do things you don't want to do all weekend. That's what you do.
Yeah, but I don't find you discovering new things.
You don't know, man.
Well,
yeah,
tell me. Well,
maybe I'm much wider, you know, minded than I would be if I didn't do the opposite weekend.
Oh, my God, that is frightening.
Yeah, you're wider minded.
You seem like one of those Opus Dei guys who just goes home and beats himself because he hates his life so much.
No!
Like, instead of making incremental changes that would actually maybe stick and affect your life.
I don't want anything that will stick, but I guarantee you this. I guarantee you this. After I have a Spanish opposite weekend, and this is my most extreme one where I listen to nothing but Spanish radio, and I don't speak Spanish.
Right.
And then I'll go to a foreign film or whatever. Like, I'll go the whole weekend. Yes.
And do you put on a mustache and a sombrero and walk around your house saying, hola, esposa, ¿dónde está la puerta de baño? Do you just really immerse yourself? Or how committed are you to opposite weekend?
I'm pretty committed. An opposite week, I mean, I'm not trying to learn Spanish. I'm just trying to avoid my rut.
Avoid English.
So I would be willing to admit that when I come back on Monday morning, I'm less upset to hear Snow by Red Hot Chili Peppers than any of you. Is that correct?
So you really do this just so that you appreciate your rut more? You leave your rut so you come back to your rut and say, oh, now I'm more comfortable in my rut. Now that I'm back in my rut, things are good.
Occasionally I'll discover something that I didn't realize I would have liked. A movie or something like that I would have never gone to in a million years, but I went and I sort of liked it.
Uh-huh.
But you do the same thing. You still listen to music and go to a movie.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, well, what do you want me to do? Just hide in a dungeon?
Try another activity.
Go to an art museum, throw a clay pot. I don't know. Do something that's not about.
I would do that on opposite weekend.
Radio and movies.
I would do that on opposite.
And here's the thing. If you go to see a foreign film and you happen to enjoy it, I don't see you going to any more foreign films.
You
once
don't
you've
know how
that.
Many movies I go to,
you
man.
Go back to the same effing fat mall cop movie that you went to the week before.
He's fat. That guy's fat.
I'm saying this experiment of yours really hasn't expanded you in any way as far as we can tell.
It's helped me appreciate other art
forms. Appreciated your rut. You're happy to get back to your rut once you're off of opposite weekend.
For the most part, let's be honest. The stuff you like for a reason. You liked it that way for a reason for a long time. And that is pretty much who you are. But this is my attempt to stretch out a little. Sometimes I listen to country music and I effing hate it. So then I just turn it off. I don't listen to anything. That's weird for me not to listen to anything. But that's also different. It's also opposite.
And then he can think, which is also different and opposite.
Oh, Lisa. Come on. I thought, Lisa, four friends? Come on.
I think we have a winner, guys. I think let's go ahead and pull out the crown, pull out the sash.
No, we still have to do the whole pageant, Bean.
What? But Joanna's here.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Bobby.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
She does have great cans.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Right, hi, Joanna.
Now we have a winner.
Hi.
Let's get that mic right up there.
Right up close.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
It doesn't sound better, but it's more phallic.
How dare you, sir?
If you don't mind.
Here's what's going on. Every year on the Kevin and Bean Show, we crown one young lady in the listening audience to represent our show throughout the next calendar year. So right now, we're looking for Miss Double December 2012. You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and cast your vote for one of the nine finalists up on the page. You can see interviews. You can see photos. All the girls that have already been in. There's video up there. And then Friday is when we do the crowning, and that's going to be at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Doing a live show out there. Joanna is going to be joining us Friday, and she's here in studio with us right now. How are you, my dear?
Hey! Joanna. I'm good. I'm good.
You're jingly.
I am.
Yeah. What's that about? What's going on? What jingles?
I have.
She's got jingle bells on.
Jingle bells.
He can't see you.
Not very well.
Yeah. How
sad. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, trust me. It's the saddest thing that's ever happened to him.
They cut the cord when they heard you were coming in, so I'm unable to see it. You have one of the best splash photos, the first photo that you see of a contestant that we've ever had in the history of the pageant on KROQ.com. It's captivating, and my God, they're so real, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, that's what I did with the bells. I wanted you guys to hear them.
Sure enough.
Did you get that, Lightning?
She was shaking her boobs with her hands, and we heard the bells. It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle. What it is.
How did it come to be that you applied for Miss Double December 2012? Is this something you heard about and said, hey, I'm in, or did somebody tip you off to it, or what?
Yeah, you know, I've always heard about it, and I love listening to K-Rock. I've actually kind of switched jobs over, so now I'm on the morning commute.
Ah.
And it actually got brought up. I emailed in October, and we were out having drinks, and somebody said, why don't you do that? So I said, oh, okay, I'm going to email. So I emailed, and then
somebody
they got back to me.
To you?
They did.
Wow.
They said,
thank God.
I think they were pretending to be one of you guys. They said,
no one is pretending to be us, I swear
they
to
said,
God.
It's a little early. But we'll let you know, or we'll announce it. So then,
that was probably me. I probably said that because I'm the best.
I did it.
Because I think I'm the best because I'm the one who was looking out for you, Joanna. Don't forget that.
No, yeah, it's a little early. Okay. So I waited it out, and then I started hearing you guys announce it and stuff, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to go do
just
it.
Just going to go for it.
You know, and I turned 26, so I'm like, I'm not doing it next year. That's it. This is my one and only pageant. I'm not doing
once
it.
Once you
yeah.
become ancient 27, you
yeah,
just couldn't
no,
possibly
it,
be in
it,
the pageant.
That's
what you're saying?
Right off showbiz. So sad.
Well, you have held on to your looks pretty well for a woman of your age.
Oh,
I have
thank
to be
you,
honest.
Thank you.
What do you do for a living? You mentioned you got a new job. What do you do?
I do. I just started, actually. It's in the mortgage business and just...
refinancing, perhaps?
It's, you know, honestly, I'm so new to the industry. I'm just doing what they tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
we like that in a girl.
Not everything.
And just trying to catch on. And I think I'm doing pretty well. I have been waitressing for the last 4 years. I just finished school at UCI. So that's pretty much where I've been. This is, within 2 weeks.
What did you get your degree in at UCI?
English. Mm-hmm.
You and Kevin have a lot in common.
Yeah. I got a degree in English, too. But look what it's done for me.
Yeah.
You did. You know, I've always noticed you do use big words.
Thank you.
I'm like, ooh, I'm going to.
She's mocking me now.
They're all meaningless, but they are big words.
I don't know
they're
what
just
they mean,
a
right.
series of letters and vowels stuck together, but they are big. Yes.
This is the voice of Joanna, Miss Double December 2012 contestant here on the Kevin Beach. We're going to get to her talent in a moment. I wanted to ask, in the entry form that you filled out for the website, when Ralph asked if you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? Your answer was, don't forget the spice. What does that mean?
I really like to cook, so that's just kind of something. And I love chili on everything, fruit, pasta, anything you can make spicy. I like spicy, but...
fruit? You love chili on fruit?
Yeah, I think it's a Mexican thing.
Chili on fruit?
Yeah, like chili powder.
Oh,
right. It makes my dad a little mad. He's like, that's gross. All whatever. Right. But I think just to kind of make things fun, you know, you always got to do things.
That's a double meaning.
Yeah, it does.
The spice of life, right?
Yeah, a little bit different.
Joanna's the only person who wrote about herself, she looks good in the morning. I don't think any woman would say that.
But she's right.
But
she's
does.
Right.
I agree. That's a big plus.
I agree.
She said if she was a porn star, her made-up stage name would be Lala Cox. C-O-X, of course.
Sure.
Lala Cox.
Sure.
And we asked her if she could have one superpower, what would it be and why? She said, I would make all of the traffic disperse out in front of me with the honk of a horn.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, I've had that fantasy myself.
Yes. Are you one of those people that tries to make that happen every time there's traffic?
No, I'm new. I'm new to traffic, and so far I'm really surprised at how patient I've been, but I'm thinking...
You'll go over the edge.
Yeah, when is that going to happen?
I'm thinking, soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Within a week.
All right, let's talk about this talent of yours in quotes. What's going on here? You said you don't sing, you don't dance, you don't play an instrument, so you came up with something else that's a little unusual for a pageant of this kind.
Right. So I wrote a poem.
Well, you do have a degree in English, so it makes sense.
I do, yes.
Do some creative writing.
Just a little. And I couldn't really bring any of my other talents in the studio.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
I see what you're saying. All right.
Do you want some music or something?
Yeah.
You have a poem to read for us? We have some music we can play? Or
No. I'll just read it. It's more of like a kind of like a rhyme.
Okay.
It's like the poem, like a rhyme.
Like it's a like a rhyme. Poem, like a rhyme.
Wait a minute. It's a poem that rhymes?
It's one that people...
Don't
no.
step outside the norm here.
You got your English degree from the same place I did, didn't you?
It's like a rhyme to commit to memory.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Tell me one.
When you're ready.
Okay. Miss Double December must always remember to never forget her bra. For if she forgets, she might have regrets and her tatas may start to fall. If this should occur, and Bean would concur, give your plastic surgeon a call. For jiggly, wiggly, bouncy, and firm are what a girl's breast should be. Anything else just will not suffice if you want to be Miss Double D.
Oh.
Ah.
Well, the visual is all important.
Right, she sure is. Poetry, but she put something in there, a little spice.
That's going to go over at the pageant very well, I think.
Yeah, surprisingly, the poem may be one of the most hyped. That's correct. Highlights of the talent portion.
When you decide to come out and join us on Friday at the Slide Bar in Fullerton, be sure to bring a new unwrapped toy. The Marines will be down there accepting Toys for Tots, or in this case, Toys for Tatas. That is the price of admission. If you can't be there, don't forget, you will see the entire webcast live and uncut starting at 6 a.m. on krock.com. And we haven't talked about this much, but don't we have entertainment even after we sign off the air? Don't we have bands playing and all sorts of stuff? It's like a whole day thing down there, right?
DJ Omar Khan's going to be spinning throughout the rest of the day. We're going to have a band. Mike Catherwood's band's going to be down there playing, yep.
Wow, fantastic.
It's going to be a whole day long. We're extending the pageant well beyond the morning show. It's going to be a party all day long at the Slide.
It was always a little bit sad because at the end of the pageant, everybody was now drunk and ready to have fun. And we were all like, all right, let's go home.
Close it down.
Didn't work.
We'd have to throw Kevin in the trunk of somebody's car and drive him home. But now he can stay there and drink all day long.
Correct. So. Go to krock.com or kevinamine.com and vote for Joanna. Her name is Joanna. You will enjoy the photos very much. And maybe she will be the next Miss Double December 2012. Hey, thanks so much for coming in, Joanna. We'll see you Friday.
Thank you.
See all right. If you want to go to the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Christmas, you'd like to earn the tickets, you can call right now 1-800-520-1067.
Can we apologize in advance for what the listeners are going to be forced to listen to? Because we're going to give away some tickets for Acoustic Christmas, your choice of nights, the 10th or the 11th of December at the Gibson. But we're doing it with a game we like to call Bluegrass 182.
So you want to win tickets to the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas? Well, we have one fun way for you with Bluegrass 182. That's right. Here we go. Yep, you know what we're gonna do. We're gonna play a bluegrass version of Blink 182. Ho, ho, ho.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
You know, we discussed, Kevin, at one time when we were doing this game with the string quartet versions. We said, why are these made? Like, why does this exist? Why do we need a string quartet album of Metallica songs, for instance? And we heard from people who said, well, I'm a parent, and sometimes I need something to play for the kids, and I hate most of that music. At least this gives me a melody I know and like.
Right.
But why would the bluegrass Blink 182 exist? There's no reason for this to happen. Right? I don't
know. The other people said it in an office setting, you know, at least it's songs you recognize, even though they're not by the artist. But yeah, bluegrass 182. I mean, we just searched bluegrass and Blink 182, and there's bluegrass versions of their songs, which is really bizarre to us.
Yeah.
I can't see, like, anyone who likes Blink 182 would hate these songs.
Correct.
Right? Anyone who likes bluegrass would hate these songs.
Correct.
So who's the audience for it?
I don't know, but you're going to have to identify both the song, just the song title, because we're telling you right now it's Blink 182. So we're going to play you a bluegrass version. We're going to begin with Josh. Josh is a job recruiter. Hey, Josh.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. All right, we're going to play you a clip of a Blink 182 song. It's done in a bluegrass style, so you're going to have to give us the title of the song, okay?
And if you're right, you're going to go into a drawing. Lisa May will tell us at the end who wins of those who are able to identify their song. So listen up. Here goes.
A day late, a buck short. I'm riding out the freeboard. I'm losing and falling. When I move, I'm falling now.
There you go. What song is that?
All the Small Things.
I'm sorry, that was Damn It.
Thanks for calling.
Damn It.
Sorry, Damn It. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Steve.
Just do a little bluegrass 182.
We do.
I'm excited.
Here's your song. Good luck.
I'll take one lift. Your ride's the best trip. Always I know you'll be at my show.
The Rock Show.
Dang it.
That was what the last guy guessed, All the Small Things. Thank you, though, for the call. All right, we're 0-2.
The words are in there.
We thought this was going to be too
easy. That was pretty close. Yeah, that one was. I mean, that was the part right before they say All the Small Things. I thought he might get that.
All right, let's go to Al, who's a research assistant. Hi, Al.
Hi, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Al.
All right, here's your Blink 182 song done by bluegrass musicians.
I called her mom from a payphone. I said I was the cops, and your husband's in jail. This state looks down on sodomy.
That sounds like maybe it should have been a bluegrass song originally. All right, now,
what's my age again?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Nicely done. You're the first person to qualify. You hold on. Let's go to Nicole, who is a stay-at-home mom. Hi, Nicole. Hello, Nicole.
Going once.
Nicole.
Going twice. Called away by the children, apparently. Why don't we try Jonathan up next on line 5?
Okay.
Jonathan is an EMT. He must have something better to do than be on the phone with us.
Somebody right now is having a heart attack. He's going, hang on. I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, they could wait. They're on oxygen. What's up, guys?
That's right.
Hi, Jonathan.
All right, Jonathan, here's your song. It's done by Bluegrass, but it is a Blink-182 song. Here you go.
And I can't wait till I get home and pass the time in my room alone.
Ooh.
Wow, that was like 3 minutes off. I'm going to go with Josie.
Sorry, that was Adam's song.
Adam's song.
Sorry about that.
One of the best songs ever about suicide. All right, we got time for Corey next. Corey's on line six. Joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show trying to win tickets for Acoustic Christmas. Hey, Corey, ready to play?
I think so. I'm a little scared.
How have you done so far? On hold.
You know what? I've done pretty good, but now I'm getting a little nervous.
Yeah. All right, well, here's your song. Good luck.
Mama said we're gonna move to Vegas. I remember the look her mother gave us. 17 without a purpose or direction. Don't know anyone. Explanation.
Josie.
It was the Rock Show.
Rock Show. Thanks.
Oh. Oops, sorry.
All right, we got time for just one more. If this helps, by the way, damn it, all the small things, What's My Age Again, Adam's Song, and the Rock Show have all been named. It'll be something else. Let's see what Steven's got for us.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa
May? Hi, Steven.
Steven is a print operator. Not quite sure what that is, but here's your song. You ready?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Doesn't seem to matter that I'm lacking in the bulge. She laughs at my dumb jokes when no one does. She brings me Mexican food from sombreros just because.
That's Josie.
Yes, that is Josie.
Nicely done.
All right. Steven is in the drawing. He joins our friend Al, who also got one earlier. One of these guys is going to get their choice of Acoustic Christmas tickets. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner, Steven.
Steven, yeah! Last time we talked to you. How about that? Congratulations.
Yeah.
What night do you want to go, Steven?
Dude, I want to go to night one.
Night one?
Yeah!
You will be there.
Yeah.
And thank you for playing Bluegrass 182.
Here we go. Yup, have fun at our show. Oh, my God. Bluegrass blows.
And Doug Benson joins us next hour. He's got something going on with Weezer that you won't believe. He'll tell us about that. Plus, what's up with the beautiful Courtney Stodden? We'll discuss after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Do you think Doug Benson confused Weezer with Weeder?
Ah, that might be why he signed up.
Did he think he was going on a Weeder cruise?
And
he thought everybody there was going to be weed users?
Wait a minute. This is a music thing? What?
I thought it was Weeder. Oh, damn. Now what do I do with this bale of pot I've packed? You would ask. It is Tuesday. That means we take a look at the new releases, new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD.
Yes, please. That's my favorite segment you do all week long.
That is pathetic.
That is weird.
You know, this time of year, it's holiday gift-giving season.
I am not a winner.
And so you want to see what's new so that you know that your friends don't have this yet. Mm-hmm. So this is something you could invest in. So we're doing you a public service. New CDs. How about the singles collection, 2001 to 2011, by Gorillaz? You want to get the Gorillaz Greatest Hits?
All right.
You pick that up. Adele, Live at the Royal Albert Hall. It's a DVD CD set. You can check that out.
Which is great because she cancels almost all of her concert appearances, so it's very difficult to see her live.
Since she can't sing anymore, then you can at least have her on CD.
Wait, does she really do that? She really cancels?
Hey,
her throat's all honked up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just had surgery, yeah.
Let's see. Your Favorite Weapon, the deluxe edition by Brand New. Songs of Anarchy. Music from Sons of Anarchy. Seasons 1 through 4 by various artists. You can pick that up. Inevitable by Trey Songz. That's all new on CD. DVDs. The Smurfs. If you missed the Smurfs in theaters.
What else? What else you got?
Come on. Neil Patrick Harris opens a box and there's Smurfs in there.
Kevin,
hey, what are the Smurfs doing?
When's your next opposite weekend? Because maybe the Smurfs movie is the way to go.
By the way, I'd see Harold and Kumar just on a tangent. And Neil Patrick Harris is great.
He's a super talented guy.
He really is better
on every
than
level.
Any project he's
he
in.
He can sing, he can dance, he can act. He's funny, he's charming, he's got
he
it all.
He was really good in it.
Did you like the movie?
No. I didn't smoke out beforehand. You have to smoke out beforehand. Sorry.
Back to you.
Friends with Benefits, Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. Oh. I'm sorry for those two.
That's in Smell-O-Vision, though, right?
That they were in Friends with Benefits.
Why is he being...
He means the movie stinks.
Because it's a terrible movie.
Yeah. That's what
that
he means.
That is what I meant.
That's what I meant.
That's what
he
meant.
It is what I meant. It's a terrible movie.
I'm defending you. Why are you yelling?
I'm trying to explain.
I am not a winner.
Oh. Come on.
One Day, starring Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess.
Don't know that one.
Our Idiot Brother, starring Paul Rudd and Elizabeth Banks.
Oh,
that is
I'm sorry, Elizabeth Banks.
Funny movie. No, it's really good.
Oh, Lisa.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, Lisa.
Trust me. It's a good movie.
You're so
it's
cute.
It's sweet
oh,
and funny.
You are. You're a doll. You really are.
You're adorable.
Come on.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Tyler Levine. 30 minutes or less, starring Jesse Eisenberg and Danny McBride and other funny people. TV shows on DVD. Smallville, the complete 10th season, the final season of Smallville, available on DVD. 30 Rock Season 5 and Hot in Cleveland Season 2.
Yeah.
Starring Betty White, Bean.
Get Just your tell
hot,
me.
Get your Hot in Cleveland fix.
Like I haven't pre-ordered that.
Get your Cleveland Steamer Season 2.
Oh.
It's hot nope. in Cleveland. It's steamy there is nope. what I'm saying. Come on now. There's a new lesbian power couple in Hollywood. Okay. You know Sarah Gilbert from The Talk?
Yes.
She was also on Roseanne. She played the youngest daughter on Roseanne.
Okay.
She's got a new girlfriend, Linda Perry.
Oh, wow.
Legendary she's singer, songwriter, producer. She was, of course, in the band Four Non Blondes, but she's since gone on to write many hits and produce a lot of music for a lot of people. Linda Perry and Sarah Gilbert, that's an interesting couple.
Did you call that a power couple?
Yes, they're a power couple.
Huh.
I look at those two and I say, hey, what's going on?
Wow.
When I see those two
oh,
together.
Please put that. Please put that.
And I
file.
Say, hey, 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 hey.
We're
I
blocks.
Say, hey, what's going on?
Right, she was in that band and wrote that song. We understand.
When I do that, my life is still. And bad news for Bethany Frankel from the new Housewives of Amsterdam.
What? No.
Real Housewives of New York City. She got some bad news yesterday. Her upcoming TV talk show has been dropped. Telepictures, the syndicator that was producing the show, decided to can her talk show after, well, TV stations decided they wouldn't carry it. I guess that would be a problem when you're
well,
a syndicator.
We're going to cancel it.
Yeah. So, we have a new season, new crop of daytime talk shows, including Anderson Cooper, Katie Couric, Jeff Probst, Ricky Lake, and Steve Harvey.
They're not taking away the Chew, though, are they? The Chew is still
no,
on.
No, the Chew will still be on.
Okay,
but
good.
Sadly, Bethany Frankel, a woman of no discerning talent, will not be represented on the morning's talk show circuit. So, I think we all dodged a bullet there. Thank you, Telepictures, for looking out for us. We appreciate that. Today's celebrity birthdays. The Game celebrates 32 years today. Anna Faris. Scary Movie and House Bunny and many other entertaining films. She's 35 years old. Brian Baumgartner, who plays Kevin from The Office. He's 39.
We all have one, don't we?
Kevin
How
from The Office is so much like our Kevin. When I watched
How
that show, I was like, this is remarkable
you.
That they... Now, what if they named that character after you,
Why
Kevin?
Why does he have to be the dumb guy?
That's well, what we ask all the time. every morning we find ourselves asking that.
How dare you.
Deftones keyboardist Frank Delgado is 41 years old. Jordan Knight of the legendary NKOTB, or New Kids on the Block, as some people call them. He is 43 years old. Don Cheadle, 47. Tom Sizemore is 50. Kim Delaney of NYPD Blue and Army Wives turns 50 years old. Remember Philly, her show where she was a lawyer? Also a Botchko show that was on for a short time, just one season. I love that show. Howie Mandel, 56 years old. Gary Shandling is 62. And Dodgers legend Vin Scully.
Woo!
A beautiful day for Dodgers baseball. He's 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Comedian Doug Benson in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. More tickets for you to the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows coming up in about 2 weeks or so. We'll give you your choice of nights, and we'll meet yet another Miss Double December contestant. All of that still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right now, let's talk about Courtney Studden. I don't know if you know who she is, but you can go to KRF.com and look at the picture of the day. And she is a 17-year-old girl, and she is married, Bean?
Yes, she sure is. She's been married about 6 months or so now to a 51-year-old. By the way, there are still people who do not believe she is 17 because she looks about 35.
She does not look 17.
Not at all, yeah.
But she has produced a birth certificate. And, of course, we'll never forget that she went on Dr. Drew's Life Changer show to prove that her breasts are real, too, because she has giant boobs for a 17-year-old as well. And apparently they're real. But they're just a creepy, weirdo couple. And she's always trying to be really, really sexy all the time. Like, you never feel
Too
like
much.
She's just talking like a normal person.
Right.
She's over the top sexy, and that's why we were excited to find out that she now has a Twitter account.
And her tweets are really just, you know, people who really try to be sexy, but they go so far over the top, you go, hey, all right, back down a little bit.
Yeah.
You're not that sexy. Take it easy. Mr. Santa Claus, if I let you seductively slide down my stocking and taste every piece of my candy, will I still be on your naughty list?
Come on.
Well, you're trying a little too hard, aren't you?
That's not subtle.
No.
Why is she tweeting that? Who's getting off on that? Like, who looks at that and goes, oh, she sure is sexy?
Well, let's talk to her. We have her on the phone, if you don't mind. We have
Courtney Stodman's on the phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I am provocative.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are. Is that is that old man on top of your get, or do you have a free moment you can talk to us?
No, he's busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's busy getting his Viagra prescription filled.
Sure.
Yes, mm-hmm. I guess he needs it to keep up with you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to do with your crazy tweets, Courtney? Because honestly, they're hilarious, but they're also not sexy.
They are very sexy, and I am too. Provocatively preparing my provokingly perky package for a pulsating knife filled with perfect party passion. Meow.
That's one of her tweets, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real tweet.
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted that. Now, Courtney, please stop saying wait just for a second. Can you stop saying mm-hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, do you think, like, there are millions of guys out there and they read that and they go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes, I have a large number of Twitter followers,
mm-hmm.
and they think I am so sexy
mm-hmm.
and so exciting
mm-hmm.
that I hate to disappoint them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that tweet that Kevin read, for instance, sounds like it was brought to you by the letter P, and then you got this other one brought to you by the letter L, lively losing every loose layer of clothing as I leap into a lush pile of lime leaves.
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, that's just stupid, right?
No, it's not stupid.
It's not sexy. Is it supposed to be sexy
and smart?
You're not leaping into a lush pile of lime leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing that happens anywhere by anybody.
Yes, I did.
How did it feel?
Paying precious respect to our angelic animals by having a very vegetarian Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. And then you also occasionally try to get out a serious message like that one.
Thanking him gratefully for these God-given gifts of mine. For he is the reason why I am righteously blessed.
All right, so there's nine of you trying to be all sexy and dirty,
mm-hmm.
and then there's one that thanks God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear my new tweets?
Please.
I take a lot of heat for being a Taylor Swift fan. So uncool, right? Watch tonight's 60 Minutes interview, and you'll love her, too. Mm-hmm.
You tweeted that?
Yeah.
Courtney, that was actually, this is me, Bean. That was one of my tweets you just read.
That sounds like it's from a 17-year-old girl.
not even, maybe a 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that doesn't have anything to do with you, Courtney. That was just me sticking up for T-Swizzle.
Come on, we're trying to make fun of her, Bean. Don't hijack the bit.
I'm
forcing us to yell at you.
One of my tweets. I think Jerry Sandusky is a monster, but applaud him for bringing back the word horseplay. I wonder if there were hijinks or shenanigans, too.
Okay, again, that was me, and I don't know what this has to do with me, Courtney. We were making fun of your tweets.
But that's so horrible.
That is worse than any of yours,
that's
actually.
That's worse than my tweet.
Yeah, you're right.
Does hilarity arrive any other way but ensuing? Does anything else ensue besides hilarity? Why are they so codependent? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Your tweets are pretty good, Courtney.
Thank you.
No problem.
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm here to recruit you to smoke weed or not give other people smoke weed. They have a saying in Seattle, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and then shoot yourself in the face.
Do you smoke pot?
No.
Asshole.
It says here I was in Vegas recently. It didn't work out so good for me. I lost $500 gambling on prostitution. Marijuana helps me to appreciate the smaller things in life, like my penis. I've been working on a new orgasm noise.
Oh!
Nice, right?
Oh!
What woman wouldn't be proud of herself pulling that reaction out of her man?
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the man you came to see. Give it up for Mr. Doug Benson!
Doug Benson joins us in studio once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. The website is DougLovesMovies.com. Follow him on Twitter at Doug Benson with lots of upcoming dates and a cruise with Weezer to discuss today. Hey, Doug, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, it's good to be back. I hope if I have an untimely death, you play that audio montage as a tribute to me.
That's what it's said for.
What
it's a death package.
What a smart, clever comedian.
We actually prepared that in the event of your death, and then just by coincidence, you decided to come in, so we decided let's use it anyway. So
yeah. Yeah, I got to come in, and as soon as I
found out that I was involved in the Weezer cruise, this is the next stop I wanted to make.
Tell us about the Weezer cruise and how you got involved. What happened?
I think I got involved because someone from the marketing team behind the band Weezer and the Weezer cruise is a fan of my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, and contacted me to say, hey, could we give away some Weezer stuff on your podcast to promote the cruise? And I said, can I do my podcast on the cruise?
Nice. Turn it right around.
Yeah. I just pitched that right back.
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, well, let's wait and see on that. But then they responded positively. So on the cruise, I'm going to do an episode of my podcast with members of the band Weezer participating in Doug Loves Movies.
Strong.
Now, let's talk about these cruises in general for a second before we get into the specifics of your deal in January. I don't know who the first band was that said, hey, let's go out on a cruise and take our fans with us, but it's incredibly popular now. I mean, 311 is doing it now, I guess. Of course, Kiss has done it. I think Motley Crue maybe did it. I mean, it really is a fantastic way to kind of get up close and personal with your favorite group to go out essentially go out on the road with them, but on the water.
Yeah, I did. That was the kind of funny coincidence that the Weezer people contacted me because they weren't really aware that I was the comic on the 311 cruise.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Yeah. Well, makes sense, of course.
Yeah, last March, the first one they did, I got to perform on it, and
couldn't get on the Rick Springfield cruise. They didn't call you for that one.
No, they don't call me for any of those VH1 cruises or any of that kind of stuff. But 311 was into having a comic, especially Peanut is the member of the band that really follows comedy, and he's a great guy, and he asked me to be on the cruise, and it was the best weekend I'll never remember for the rest of my life.
You have a lot of those, don't you?
Yeah, I have quite a few, but that one in particular was just amazing because it's just a beautiful, like, it takes the everything that's horrible about the cruise experience is removed, and it's just replaced with awesome bands.
All goodness.
Because cruises used to be, I mean, for guys like me growing up, cruises were something that old people did that were boring, and you feel like you'd want to shoot yourself in the head if you ever got stuck on one. But a few years ago, it seems like they really started to try to hip them up and make them fun for everybody.
Yeah, it's not just a shuffleboard anymore. Now they have a casino. No, they've had a casino on those boats for a while. That was my go-to, because I used to be a comic who, just to earn a living, I performed on cruises sometimes.
Oh, you did cruises a bunch.
Yeah. They used to have, like, Improv at Sea that Bud Friedman put together. So, like, I would, just go out, and it was almost like just doing a weekend at a club, but instead you're on a boat.
Huh.
And I'd do that from time to time. And then, but I hated it because, even when you're a comedian on the ship, that all the announcements come into your cabin.
Sure.
And there's, like, a cruise director that starts haranguing you at, like, 8 a.m. about what time bingo is.
Yeah.
And, meet us on the Fiesta deck for more of, songs you hate but played with a marimba.
They really do try to get you involved in every activity that
it's
exists.
So aggravating.
Yeah.
And so many safety drills all the time.
Well, safety is for losers. We all know that.
Oh, it's the worst.
But
who cares about safety?
What about a guy like you, Doug? And this would be my fear if I were a celebrity, is there's no peace and there's nowhere to go except for your room. Every time you step out, you're in public and people can come up to you and talk to you and you can't get away. What do you do about that?
Well, I would, for starters, I really would, like, peek my head out the door and make sure no one saw which room was mine. So
good.
No one knew where I was staying.
That's good.
And then I'd just dart around and, you're right, though, that room was pretty much the only place I could go.
But
to
get high,
away,
and then it wouldn't bother you.
Well, that's the thing about it, especially on the 311 cruise. I think the Weezer cruise might be more of a family scene, but we'll see, But the 311 cruise was all young people, which really surprised me, because it's a band that's been around for 10, 15 years, and they've got really young fans that are super into them now. And so I would just walk down the hallway, and if I smelled smoke, if I smelled weed, I'd just knock on a door.
I like it.
And they'd open the door and be like, oh, hey, Doug Benson's here. Come on in. And every time. Like, nobody was ever like, hey, get out of here.
As a given.
Yeah.
You just sniff your way out and go right to the room.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Now, this is what, 4 days?
I think so, yeah. All the way down to Cozumel.
Nice.
And basically, you're on the boat most of the time. You have one day to get off at, and check out the crazy bars and stuff in Cozumel. And then it's like a day and a half just coming back. But it's in January. And I love on the website, they list, like, here's the weather in London. Here's the weather in New York. Here's the weather in Chicago. And then, you know, in Cozumel, it's going to be 78 degrees.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, they really lay it out that, like, January is the perfect time for this, I think.
Yeah.
So it leaves from Miami. We should mention that. So if you want to go, you go from L.A. or Orange County. You fly to Miami first and then get on the boat, right?
Yeah, there's lots of, packages.
You're not
going to
come pick
stuff.
Us up, in other words.
No. Yeah, it's quite, you got to be a huge either Weezer fan or Doug Benson fan, or hopefully both, and then all those other great bands. But it is a, you know, it's not a a cheap thing to go and do, but it is, I can't tell you,
lifetime,
though. I can't tell you how much fun it is. It's so much fun. The band will do like a Q&A with the crowd at one point. On the first night, 311 did this, and Weezer's doing the same thing. On the first night, they do a concert on the upper deck of the boat. So everyone is just outside on a boat, setting sail, watching a concert of their favorite band. So it's a really great setup. And then they have a big indoor arena on the boat. And then each night on like the Friday, Saturday of the cruise, you have tickets to one or the other and you get to see an entire concert. And I can only assume that they'll be playing, you know, pretty much all of Blue and Pinkerton. And then, you know, scattered hits from thereafter. So
sure.
I've been a longtime Weezer fan. So when they called me, I couldn't believe it. It was very lucky.
Do you know them at all? Have you met Weezer?
Have not met them yet.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun for you then as a fan.
Yeah,
I've
lived in L.A. for a long time. I used to go see Weezer, like, even before the Blue album came out, I would see them in small clubs around town and was, like, sort of a Weezer groupie, and then they caught on, so... Yeah, this is very exciting that this is coming together.
It's going to be trouble because Doug's going to be outside their room going, hey, guys.
Yeah, well, come on, Weeder. Don't you smoke Weeder?
I'm the comic. Hey, let me in.
Well, this sounds like the ultimate experience for a Weezer fan. So if you want more information about it, the cruise again leaves from Miami January 19th. And you mentioned the bands, by the way. We should also. Dinosaur Jr. is going to be playing. Sebado is going to be playing. Gene Ween, The Waves, The Antlers, who I love, by the way. Yuck, who I don't care for. Free Energy is going to be there. And a whole bunch more. I mean, it's not just a couple of bands. It's a setup. And Doug doing comedy, you can go to theweezercruise.com for more information or to buy your tickets. That sounds like a great time. Doug Benson is here. We got more to talk to the man about, and we will do that when we return right after this on the Kevin Beach. Last hour, we had the beautiful Joanna in. She is vying to be Miss Double December 2012. She's one of our 9 finalists. I just watched the video up. It's up at KROQ.com, Kevin, of something you saw in person.
Yep.
She sure grabs them.
She does.
She shakes them around, doesn't she?
She grabs them and moves them.
Yeah, so you can see photos, you can see Joanna's entry form, and the video that was shot this morning. If you'd like to vote for Joanna, you can go to KROQ.com. Don't forget the live show is going to be this Friday in Fullerton at the Slide Bar. And I think we have another Miss Double D contender coming in next hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. Right now, our friend Doug Benson is in, who will never be Miss Double December. But that's okay, because he's holding and he's funny. DougLovesMovies.com is the website. We talked about the Weezer cruise in January leaving from Miami. You can get information on Doug's website. And you're also doing something else very special for the holidays. You're doing a podcast with a bunch of friends on December 20th. Tell me about that, Doug.
It's at the place where I normally do Doug Loves Movies. Every week the show is usually free, and we do it at like 7:30. But on December 20th, it'll be at 8:30, and it's going to be a special 90-minute edition. And I think it costs like $5 to get in over at ucbtheater.com. You can go to for tickets. And it's I'm just going to have 12 of the, guests that have been on the show before, that maybe one or two new ones, but like just the best 12 people I can get that are still sitting, you know, they're still hanging out in LA on December 20th. And so I think it's going to be a pretty powerful lineup. And then we play the game from the show, the Leonard Maltin game. We play it elimination style, where there's 12 people, and whenever somebody misses, they're kicked off the show.
They're
done for the whole episode.
Your show's been around long enough now and has enough fans that you can probably approach people that you don't even know and get some pretty good guests on the show, right?
Yeah, it still feels weird going up to anybody going, hey, you want to be on my podcast? You still feel like some little weirdo, you know? So I try to leave it to when somebody approaches me or is, you know, seems to know who I am. Like I saw Chris Evans from Captain America.
Right.
And he's like a fan of my stand up. So I said, oh, man, can you, you know, can you do my podcast? And he was like, anytime. And he gave me his phone number. So I have his number. Yeah.
Have you called it? And have you tried that phone number?
I've texted him and he's very good about replying, okay. But the answer is always no.
Yeah. Because
he's really busy.
He's busy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been promising the listeners that he's going to be on and it hasn't happened yet. But there's always 2020.
There, when Zach Galifianakis is on, you guys have so much fun together. He's obviously hilarious, and you're obviously hilarious. There's something about you two guys together, though, just seems like you're having the time of your life when he stops by.
Yeah, because we both like the aspect of being funny together and just being funny in a situation where you don't really have to prepare. You know, you just show up and hope things work out, and with him they always do, because that guy is just so funny.
He's one of those guys, and it's weird to see a guy like this too, because most people come through Hollywood, they have a certain personality, and then all of that personality gets stripped away when they come through Hollywood, and then all of a sudden they're not offensive to anybody and they're milquetoast and he seems to somehow have just kept his bizarro edge. That's great.
Yeah, he's
because
he's a one man wolf pack. That's how he does it.
He really is, because he's got all the same friends he had before he became famous, and he's not crazy about being well known or being approached by people and stuff. He's a pretty shy dude. So I think that's the other reason why he likes doing a show like mine, because I never announce who the guests are going to be, so he can just kind of walk out, be a nice surprise for everybody, but nobody's had time to prepare and bring their, you know, Zach Galifianakis shrine for him to sign or something, you know?
If you want to go to this, by the way, as Doug mentioned, tickets are only $5 and it's on December 20th. You can get details on that and all the upcoming podcast dates at DougLovesMovies.com. Speaking of loving movies, you've made another movie that's coming out next year, too.
Yeah, that's the plan. It's being edited right now, and people always come up to me and go, "What's this? When are you going to do a sequel to Super Jaime? What's the sequel going to be?" And I'm always like, "Well, what do you think? Should I make a sequel? What would the point of that be?" And they're like, "Well, you could smoke pot for 60 days instead of 30." And I'm like, "Oh, you mean like my life? I could just continue to live my life?" Then I realize, "Oh, that's not a bad idea. Just show people what it's like to be me a few years after the kind of cult underground success of that movie." And I also thought, "Why leave Morgan Spurlock out of it? Why not continue to rip off the man and everything he does?" So his most recent movie is called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold, and it was about putting product placement in a movie to raise money to make a movie about product placement in a movie.
Right.
So my new movie is I went out on tour to raise money to make a movie about going on tour to raise money to make a movie. And we succeeded. We went on like an 8-city tour, 7 cities in 8 days, and raised enough money to actually finish this movie. And
what's the name of this one?
Oh, the greatest movie ever rolled. I left out the punchline.
That's why I set you up for it.
That's why he's a professional comedian.
Yeah. And I'm excited because Spurlock's next movie is all about Comic-Con. He went to Comic-Con last year and filmed a bunch of crazy people in crazy outfits.
Right.
And so hopefully next summer I will be attending Comic-Con and asking, you know, which superheroes smoke weed.
I like it.
I'm just going to dog Morgan Spurlock from now on. The man is not going to be able to escape my parodies.
It makes your choices much easier, though. You don't have to come
up with it. Simple. Yeah. I don't have to think about it. It's just like if Weird Al just signed on with, okay, I'll just, every song, you know, Madonna makes, I'll do that.
Right.
Considering how disappointed your parents must have been with you, Doug, with the path your life took in the early years, now you're a productive human being who actually has things going on. You've got events on the calendar. You've got products that are coming to market. You're busy. You're popular. You're active. I mean, who would have ever thought you could pull this off?
That's a great question. I don't know. I feel so lucky, you know, that it's the strangest thing. Like, I never set out to be the guy that everybody wants to smoke pot with, but now that I am, I'm pretty pleased with it.
Pretty good position, right?
Yeah.
And you have to buy less pot now than ever, I imagine.
No, I still buy it every once in a while, you know, just because I want to be in the system, you know, like I've got my medical card and
sure.
all of that. But, yeah.
Because of that condition that you have where you...
when he went in for his medical card, his condition was, I'm Doug Benson.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. My condition is
I just want to keep getting fatter. I really want to put on some weight. I want to get into the sumo game.
All right. Well, we are out of time, unfortunately. Please follow our friend Doug on at Doug Benson on Twitter. Go to DougLovesMovies.com for an update on all the upcoming podcast shows. And if you want to buy tickets for the Weezer Cruise, which sounds like so much fun. I hope at some point they let you on stage to play with the band. That would be so cool.
I don't know what I would play. I guess maybe they could throw me a tambourine.
Sure.
Or something.
Yeah. Hand claps, backup singing, something like that. But as a Weezer fan, I still can't get over that you get to go do that.
Just maybe a dancer.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe just be a dancer.
Yeah. One of those fifth wheel guys.
put him in a bikini in a cage. I like it. Good to see you, Doug.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Two sold-out nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts are coming up soon, Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th. Phenomenal lineups, both nights completely sold out. Of course, we are going to be webcasting and broadcasting live, but it's better to be there in person, and we'll give you your choice of nights coming up in about an hour from right now here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for another look at the show. Bisbee, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, you're bummed.
Ralph, what happened?
I don't know.
What happened? Your last hour, you're so happy.
I know.
What happened?
I'm just not myself today.
Why? Oh.
I think the death of Joseph Stalin's daughter hit me a little harder than I expected.
Kids seem happy.
I can't believe she's gone.
I didn't know she's still alive.
Stalin's daughter.
No one knew she was alive.
She
Ralph.
Was my favorite of all the dictators' offsprings.
Mm-hmm.
She was the best one, I think. Much better than
I like
Hitler's
the Hitler
son. Hitler's son I never cared for.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Pol Pot's adopted daughter, I never cared for her much. But Stalin's daughter, that was the real deal right there.
Wasn't she living in Wisconsin or someplace crazy?
She was, yeah.
Like the last place you expect to find her.
She left communist Russia during the Cold War. And the communists were like, hey, that's your daughter. Hey,
come on, this doesn't look good for us that you don't think the Soviet Union is a good place to live. You'd rather live in Wisconsin?
Everybody knew that. I don't know. Ever been to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Just working at the House of Foam.
It's a coin flip.
House of Foam?
Was that a place, Dean?
It was. Unfortunately, when I went to Wisconsin on vacation this past summer, House of Foam is no longer there. It's gone now.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's very sad.
House of Foam.
You know the world,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know the places you can choose to go to in the world?
Yes.
For a vacation?
Yes.
Where would Wisconsin fall on that list
well,
for you?
For me, it would be way, 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 way down there. But this is kind of a business thing with B. We did it for the morning show.
No, he just went this past summer.
I know. No, if I wasn't for that, never.
Yeah. I love Wisconsin.
Yes, you do.
And, Ralph, you can appreciate this. You tell me I'm wrong here. I visited Lambeau Field and took the tour. Of the frozen tundra.
Did
Tell
you
me
see
that
a game? Did you see a game at Lambeau Field?
Well, no, it was July.
Well, then you're stupid.
But I got to see their museum, you know, Hall of Fame and everything like that with all the Packers stuff. It was fantastic. I mean, I had a great time. I heartily recommend
it. But it's second. It's a long, long, long second to seeing a game there, I would imagine.
Excuse me. I'm not even the Mustard Museum, also in Wisconsin. Need I remind you?
I rest my case. It's magic.
Wisconsin blows.
Congratulations to Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's expecting her second child with her husband, Peter Sarsgaard. There's a Hollywood couple for you right there. That's a lot of talent in one family. Sarsgaard's amazing, I think, and she's also very talented. The couple was married in 2009. They've got a 5-year-old daughter named Ramona. And now they're going to have another baby, so congratulations. Maybe they can take them to Arizona, to the gun club, where you can have your kids take a picture with Santa Claus while holding their choice of a variety of weapons, from pistols to machine guns.
Doesn't that say Christmas?
It really does. Nothing says Santa like a Glock.
Is the kid holding the gun or Santa holding the gun?
The kid.
The kid, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, or mom and dad, whoever. You know?
Start them early.
You can get the whole family. They've got a family package, I'm sure. We can get an assault rifle or a bazooka or a flamethrower or something else that just says Jesus and the holidays and peace on earth. Peace on earth! Goodwill to men.
But peace is spelled P-I-E-C.
Here's my shotgun. come on now with the come on.
Love it.
The blowback against porn star Kim Kardashian is gaining steam.
Yes.
I love this. People had an asshole hurt. And this thing, I think, just was the tipping point.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Her BS marriage. People said, "Why? What the hell are we doing? Why do we even care about this family? Why are we paying attention?" Creative director of Elle magazine announced Kim will never be on one of the covers of their magazine, he said.
Wow.
That's saying something, considering that's really her biggest, her strongest, you know, features or looks.
And is selling magazines. Yeah. That's why she's famous, because they can put her on the cover and usually move some issues. But this guy said, I'd think about it if she ever actually did something.
She did something, and we saw it.
But he insinuates that reality stars really aren't Elle Magazine's cup of tea, and he doesn't believe that his readers would care. So little by little, we're chipping away at that empire, and I could not be happier. One day closer to porn. More porn.
Yeah.
For Kim. This is good news. Twilight has become such a phenomenon that in the UK, they're developing a new version of the famous ballet Sleeping Beauty, but with all vampires.
What?
An all-vampire ballet of Sleeping Beauty.
Sounds like a terrible mixture of a lot of bad things.
It sure does. This is brought to you by a guy named Matthew Bourne. He's a British choreographer. He redid Swan Lake with an all-male cast.
Matthew Bourne is really famous and does some kind of great stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
But Swan Lake is all dudes? I don't want to see dudes running around in tutus.
You think that?
I know that.
Then you see
it's one thing I know. I don't want to see Swan Lake with all dudes, and I certainly don't want to see it in Wisconsin. Those two things I know for sure.
Yeah, well.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
That's a good point.
Vampire ballet. Vampires are taking over the world, man.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is The Game. He's a rapper, don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's 32 years old. Anna Faris celebrates her 35th birthday. Brian Baumgartner, who, of course, is Kevin from The Office, is 39 years
old. Just like our Kevin.
Just like our cow.
It's weird. I almost can't watch that show anymore because it's just like being at work.
It really is. It's like going to work at night when you watch that show.
How dare you?
Why do they always put the good cookies in the A1 slot in the vending machine?
The mix between me and Lewis Black?
That's a question Kevin would ask. Frank Delgado of Deftones is 41. Don Cheadle's 47. Tom Sizemore turns 50 years old. Kim Delaney of NYPD Blue fame is 50. Howie Mandel's 56. Gary Shandling is 62. And Dodgers legend Vin Scully celebrates his 84th birthday today. That's Muggers in the background, his Dodgers cap.
He's one of the best baseball announcers alive.
Absolutely. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, quick reminder for you. If you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the radio on your way to work or school, but you don't get to hear the rest of the show, the parts that you miss are always better than the stuff you hear. I guarantee that. And you can check it out in its entirety on the Kevin and Bean podcast. You know, they're available. Subscribe for free through iTunes, or you can go to KRock.com and listen anytime you want. But the podcast is a pretty good way to stay current. Is this our friend Dan in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Yeah.
Dan is a friend of ours that we know because he's riding the chip wagon. And when we met Dan, Dan was still United States Army when we met him as a specialist. And if I remember correctly, Dan, you did two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, right?
One in Iraq, one in Afghanistan.
One. Okay.
Yep.
And Afghanistan did not end the way you hoped it would because you were involved in some sort of a suicide bombing and you got blowed up and whatnot.
I was in a tower one morning, just at the end of the ship. But right at daybreak, a large truck filled with explosives tried to run through our gate. I was able to stop it, but it ended up blowing up within pretty close distance, shattering my jaw, its front face.
Shattering your jaw?
Shattering my jaw.
Your teeth got knocked out.
Teeth got knocked out. Head concussion, split my lips, split my nose.
Now, you fell down and kept shooting?
Fell down, checked myself, was already...
Before you wrecked yourself.
Before I wrecked myself. Figured out, looked at myself, was like, oh, I'm not hurt. Didn't see any of the blood, didn't feel anything from the adrenaline. Just hopped right back up. I was like, oh, this isn't bad. Opened the door, walked out in the middle of a firefight, just looking around. Like, nah, 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 nah.
You weren't shooting?
I was looking at all the smoke clearing.
Were you What's going on? Hey, what happened?
Were you a little dazed, perhaps?
Yeah. A little.
Yeah.
So the missing teeth, the jawbone, the traumatic brain injury, PTSD, back issues, knee issues, but it was worth it because you got the Purple Heart and the Silver Star, right? So it was a good trade-off.
Yeah.
Is it true that they mailed you those?
I asked them to.
Oh, you asked them to. Okay.
They told me they were going to get them to me. And by that point, I'm like, yeah, just mail the damn thing to me. I don't care.
Okay. Dad, the last time we talked to you about anything Army-related, if I recall, you were involved in some sort of a ceremony down in Anaheim, right? You came on the field ahead of an Angels game and got recognized somehow, right?
I was. After I asked them to mail me the Silver Star, and they told me they wasn't doable, they're like, well, where do you want to get it at? I'm like, well, where's the last place they'll probably do it? Like, I won it at an Angels game. I want Charlie Sheen to give it to me. Well, they gave me the game, but they wouldn't give me Charlie Sheen.
Oh, it's too bad.
All right. People are listening right now going, wow, Dan's a great American, and thank think of your service, and I'm sorry to hear what happened, but he sounds bitter. He does not sound like a happy ex-Army guy. He sounds bitter to me.
No, okay. You are bitter.
What's the problem, Dan? Why have you come on the Kevin and Bean Show today? What can we do to help you, my friend?
Well, filed for benefits a year ago. Did my thing like every other vet gets does. They go back and they wait, and they just wait for their turn. Nothing came about. So
wait, help me understand how that works. How does the turn, wait for your turn, how do they determine who's next and who goes first? And is it just in the order of injury? Or
it's order of injury is one, but when every new vet gets out, they go through, they see a doctor, they say, hey, this hurts. They'll send you up to a practitioner. He'll write it up, and a couple months later, you'll supposedly get a reply from the VA.
Okay. And that didn't happen with you?
Did not happen, no.
Okay, so your jaw was hurt. You had no teeth.
How many teeth are missing, Dan?
13.
Only 13?
14 and now that the VA has started trying to fix me. They completely removed one tooth to see if there's any chance of saving it. Found out not.
So and that was the end of that.
So 14 teeth now.
You didn't rack.
Is what you're predominantly trying to do now is get your teeth fixed, replaced? Is that what the goal here is in dealing with the VA?
The goal with me dealing with the VA now is to get them to hopefully change their system with veterans.
How does it... What's broken? Because when we saw you last year at Acoustic Christmas, remember when you were drinking all that adult chocolate milk?
I remember most of that.
Remember,
night.
And we told you, don't drink the whole bottle, Dan. Don't drink the whole bottle. No, Dan.
I wanted the cork.
Yeah. So he drank it all, and he doesn't remember much. But you were in the exact same condition as you are now.
I was.
Except with one more tooth.
Except with one more tooth and happy.
So it seems to me like you've made zero progress in a year.
I have made zero progress. All my ratings finally came back last week after bringing the VA to light.
Okay.
They expedited my ratings. Everything got everything to my door. It's like, hey, we're going to get this to you right now. They came up to me, handed me my paperwork, and my jaw wasn't covered. My face wasn't covered. My head wasn't covered. My hearing loss wasn't covered. My back wasn't covered. My knee wasn't covered. And my PTSD wasn't covered.
Wait, that's the only thing that's happened to you. What was
the
covered?
Hell do they cover?
Left ear hearing loss.
Are you kidding?
But you don't have teeth.
I don't. The reason for not having teeth was they said they didn't have enough medical examination on it.
What?
But I'm not even a doctor, and I can see you don't have teeth.
Yeah, what kind of in-depth look do they need to take at it? You're missing teeth.
My reason was they expedited the process, and along the way it got messed up.
Oh,
all
I
right.
See.
Here's what's confusing to we civilians, Dan, and I know we have a friend of yours that's been helping you that we're going to talk to next, who works with veterans such as yourself, but. Naive civilians like me get the impression that you go off and you fight, and then there are military doctors who put you back together. Or if they can't or don't have time or whatever, they refer you to civilian doctors who will then do the same thing, and that the government picks up the tab for injuries sustained while fighting Charlie. That apparently is not the way it works.
That's the way it works if you have time. There's still Vietnam vets who are trying to get their help needed.
What?
Wow. No.
The way it works with Vietnam vets now is every new vet who gets out and applies for their benefits automatically is put in front of Vietnam vets and previous vets.
What?
And just bumps them further down the line.
So somebody who fought in Vietnam and has serious health issues, every single person that gets out of Afghanistan or Iraq, it goes ahead of them.
Everyone who gets out of the military right now goes ahead of them, combat deployments or not.
Hey, there's no cutting in line.
There's no cuts.
It hardly matters. They're not helping anyone anyway.
So, Dan, apparently, I mean, for obvious reasons, you are enormously frustrated because this is something that's not only been painful for you, but you've been working on this ever since you got back, right? I mean, this is a process that's been going on for well over a year for you, and you just feel like you're not making any kind of progress at all, and that's why you're looking for help.
Right. It's frustrating because 90% of the people getting out right now will be thrown, like as I was, low ratings, where they'll have to spend a year or two to appeal. And 90% of the vets getting out aren't going to appeal that. I have a buddy of mine who lives three blocks who's been blown up at least 10 more times than me and was rated at 10% and gets less than $100 a month.
What's the rating system? It's how bad you're hurt?
Yes.
And what was your first rating?
40%.
40%, okay. And then what was your lowest rating? Was
10.
It 10%.
And what
it moved
is,
down to 10%.
And what is their deal? They only take care of you if you're above what?
99.
Actually, yes, at 100%, all your medical is now covered. The way the rating works.
But that's someone who can no longer walk or talk or.
Or have to be dead in order to get full coverage, apparently.
Or not. They have a lot of you can't function right around other people. A lot of PTSD claims come back like that. They're like, well, we don't want to deal with you. And they'll pay you money, and then they'll give you pills. I'm like, well, go off and
but I'm with
enjoy
Pete.
Yourself.
I am naive in that I thought for sure guys who went over and fought would be taken care of.
Yeah, you keep hearing
these
stories.
They do. In as timely a fashion as possible.
That's where it's coming out of. It'll get taken care of 4, 5, 6 years later
okay,
if you spend
maybe,
the time to appeal.
Maybe, but they're not going to take care of you unless you fight them.
But wait,
exactly. They've already turned him down.
If you didn't appeal, you would never get help.
Right.
He's still not getting it.
Why are your teeth not covered? Why is your jaw not covered? Why are all the things that you mentioned wrong with you not covered?
Under the exact VA.
Welcome
ruling.
To 60 Minutes. This is a brand new show.
The way Kevin asked that question, I was like, whoa.
Well, I'm serious. Because it's really frustrating.
Back off Mike Wallace. It's not his fault.
No, I'm
the
asking.
The exact wording under the VA documentation for my rating was, it was deferred pending a VA dental examination. I've been to the VA monthly.
Every
for
month.
This.
For a year.
And everybody, whether you still have no teeth.
Yes.
So they still say you need another examination. Breaking down? I mean, are they just basically trying to not take care of you because they have other priorities?
I mean, one of the things Dan didn't mention here that that he had told us about earlier is that until he started really pushing this and becoming public about it, they had lost his paperwork and never told him. So every time he said, what's going on, they'd say, yeah, we're processing. They didn't even have his paperwork
they didn't have
anymore.
Paperwork. They didn't. I believe CBS aired an article on me the 12th or the 13th. And then
of what?
November.
November, okay.
That aired, kind of giving a little jab at the VA. And I got paperwork back saying my rating had been decided on the 16th.
Okay. Wow, that's fortunate timing for them.
Convenient.
This is weird because I always thought the government was extremely efficient, so I'm very surprised by all this.
Listen, no, but it is angering because these are the people that are fighting for us. For God's sakes, if we're going to take care of anybody, it should be them.
Should be them, right. All right, we need to take a break. Dan is here in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. When we return, we're also going to be joined by Deanne Teach. She is the president and CEO of Veterans First, and this is an organization, Dan, that you've been in touch with. They've been helping you?
Yes.
I'd like to also take calls from other vets, from other veterans who have not gotten the help that they need. I mean, you're more interested in everyone than you are just yourself.
I am.
You've made that clear. It's not just that you want your teeth. You want veterans to be taken care of.
Yes. Everybody needs to know about this.
Agreed.
It's criminal.
Because every veteran's gone through it, and every one of us has just been taught to shut your mouth and it'll come. Just wait. Just wait.
No. No, it's not that's what you said.
Welcome to a very special comedy-free Kevin and Bean show here today. Our friend Dan, Kevin and Bean listener, enlisted in the Army right out of high school, served in Iraq, served in Afghanistan, is out of the Army now with a Purple Heart and a bunch of teeth missing. He's having a lot of trouble trying to get his VA benefits, to which we think he is due, and it has been just a nightmare for Dan. He's been fighting with him for a long time. One of the organizations he went to for help also joins us in studio. Deanne Tate is with us. She is the president and CEO of Veterans First, the website veteransfirstoc.org. Hi, Deanne. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. Thank you.
I got the impression from just chatting with you as you sat down that Dan's story is a carbon copy of stories that you hear every day, all day, right?
Yes, it is.
What's going on? What's the deal here?
How's
Where's the disconnect?
Well, what happens is guys come back from, men and women, I should say, come back from war. And they're expecting to get what they're entitled to, their benefits.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Yes.
Right? That's how things work. That's how it starts.
That's how they got hurt.
Exactly. But unfortunately, what happens is that they get thrown into a bureaucracy. And Daniel, for instance, he was considered what they call a VSI, very special injury.
Okay.
He should have gone.
Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you.
It hasn't worked in his favor, though. Is that it?
No, he was supposed to go to the top of the pile.
He was.
Yes. But what happened was when they filled out his paperwork, they sent it to Winston-Salem instead of sending it to San Diego.
Is this typical? Sending paperwork the wrong place, somehow it getting lost? I mean, it seems like this happens a lot.
Yes, it does. More than it should. And when you call and you ask about it, when he called and asked, they kept on saying, it's in process. But nobody told him what the problem was.
Nobody even checked, I doubt.
No one knew.
They just said, it's in process.
If they don't know, do they just say in process?
It's in process, yes. I had a gentleman yesterday come in, a vet, and come in and ask us. He's been basically the same kind of thing, 13 months out. And he kept on getting, it's in process. So I picked up the phone. I called to San Diego to benefits. I said, what's going on with this? And I said, all he keeps hearing is that it's in process. They looked up his records and they go, oh, well, let me, you know, can you put him on the phone? And I said, sure. I hand him the phone. And he said, yeah, well, we approved you last Friday. And you got $26,000 coming in. Fantastic. But how long have this guy, why didn't somebody tell him? Because he's got anger issues so bad. This gentleman was so upset. And they could avoid all that if they would just tell them what's going on.
And right.
But, you know, at this point, I doubt that it was actually available until they, you know what I mean? Like, if you
until
don't
you push and push and push.
Well, if it wasn't for CBS TV doing the.
Was it 60 Minutes?
No, it was just Stacey Butler from CBS. She came out and did a story. And the voice of OC started all. She happened to just be sitting in my office when I was talking to the VA and screaming at him, saying, what the heck's going on here? Why doesn't this guy, why isn't he getting his benefits? It's been 13 months. And
then it was been 13 months. Now it's been a year and a half or something, right?
Yes.
It was May
2015.
Yeah.
May 2010, I think, is when.
Was the injury.
He was
the injury, okay.
But he didn't file until October.
Okay.
Deanne, do you think it's intentional obfuscation from the government? Is that the word? Or are they intentionally trying to slow this process down? Or is it just incompetence along the way? What is the crux of the problem here?
It's incompetence. I don't think that anyone along the road wants to see these veterans suffer. Uh-huh. I just think that they're busy taking vacations and going to a lot of meetings and doing a lot of things instead of paying attention to what's going on.
But a lot of bureaucracy takes up most of their time, probably.
Exactly.
But so Dan said he'd been to a dentist how many months in a row?
Every month.
12, 13, 14 months in a row. You would think by the second or third time, which is a hassle, by the way, to go to the dentist and blah, 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 then maybe something would happen. But no. How? Why?
These are the answers that we're here to find out, and we want people to help us find out because we need a congressional investigation of what the heck's going on for these vets. I know they have lots of meetings and all this stuff, but why are the benefits taking so long to get? I mean, and when Daniel finally got his letter, it was like, I said to him, why is it only 40%? Why his combination is only 40%? And they didn't even address his teeth. They said it was deferred because he needed to get a dental exam. Well, he's been getting dental exams.
Once a month.
Exactly. And they actually have started work on his teeth. So what are they talking about? It's like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
This just seems way beyond incompetence.
It does.
Yeah, the way you're describing this, I can't believe it's not a cable company that Dan's dealing with. Let's take one call real quick before the break. This is Roanne, Kevin. She is on line 4, and she's got a perfect illustration of exactly the problem, Dan, that you have been fighting for and that Dan is trying to avoid. Roanne, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Thanks for holding on. What happened?
Thank you. I'm calling on behalf of my husband. Like 20 years ago, he was diagnosed with hepatitis A or B, and it ended up being hepatitis C. Because of their slow process, he passed away in September.
He had been trying to get help from the Veterans Administration during that whole time, 20 years?
Yes, yes.
Jeez.
And was pushed to the back of the line somehow, and then are there death benefits?
No, I get nothing.
This isn't how it's supposed to work.
Can I interrupt here?
Yes, please.
And Roanne, you need to contact the VA because if your husband was diagnosed with an illness that he received while he served, then you may be able to get widow's benefits.
Well, it happened after he got out. He was in Vietnam. I guess there's a lot of people that are getting this hepatitis C that were in Vietnam now.
But
it's
they have
out in the hospital.
Are they
there.
Claiming they it had nothing to do with him being in Vietnam?
Well, actually,
that's what they're saying. No,
actually, the VA has redone that, and now there's 15 different illnesses that they are attributing to Vietnam service. So if he actually served in country, please either call me or call your veteran service officer in your county and. Tell them your story and find out if you're not entitled to something as a widow.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, Roanne, and we have that website linked on krock.com. If you just want to go there, you can read more about Dan's story, read more about veteransfirstoc.org. You can get that information all at our website, okay?
Thank you for the call.
All right.
Thanks for calling. All right, we need to take a quick break. Deanne and Dan, if you would both stick around. When we come back, we want to talk to maybe a couple more of our veterans on the line. And also, Deanne, we'd like your advice as to what we, the public, who are not in the system, can do to help. Will you stick around for us?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 841.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. The organization that we are highlighting is called VeteransFirstOC.org. And the president and CEO of Veterans First, Deanne Tate, is in studio with us right now, along with Kevin Bean listener Dan, who is one of the people she's trying to help. He's a veteran who is having trouble getting his veterans benefits that we all assumed. Hey, what's going on? This isn't funny, you guys.
No, I think Dan is saying he's not a big fan.
Mark Show. Hey, Mark and Brian. Anyway, Deanne, you were telling us that this is the oldest story in the world to you. This is something you hear every day, all day, and incompetence is the problem. I asked you before the break, how can we, the public, help you?
Veterans that are looking for services need to contact their local veteran service office. Not the VA, the Veterans Service Office. It's their county-run agencies that are paid for by the county. They have more time to help them. Also, if they go to the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, these are people who are and associations that can help the veterans, and they're not going through the mire of the VA, which is overwhelmed with people requesting benefits. These guys can take extra special care of them.
Is that the problem? Is that there's too many people for them to take care of, so they just keep having to push people to the back of the line?
Yes.
That's it, really.
I mean, that's not just the problem, right. but it's a big problem. Because
sure.
there are tens of thousands of veterans coming back. I mean, people being deployed are coming back. But on top of that, you have 2 or 3 million veterans that are still out there that still have problems, and they're still trying to get their services. My ex-husband served
That's
in
shameful.
Vietnam, and he's still trying to get his benefits for PTSD. And he's, you know, he filed 8 years ago.
Lisa brought up when we first sat down with Dan that it seems like there should be some sort of congressional investigation, and it seems like this would be politically wise for somebody to get behind because, you know, who doesn't want to help out the veterans among the public? Why isn't somebody like John McCain championed an issue like this and really rammed it through and gotten some real relief on this effort?
Because he's not running for president anymore.
Thank you.
No, but it seems like a guy like him, and there are lots of veterans in Congress, it seems like somebody would be sympathetic to this cause and would be willing to stand out and make it a more high-priority issue.
I'll tell you something, that there are not that many veterans serving in Congress today. I think it's less than 10%.
Oh, I see.
Are in Congress, and it's just really not their issue. Yeah. But there are a couple, like Congressman Dana Robacher, down in Orange County. He's a Vietnam vet. There are veterans out there. In San Diego, you have Congressman Duncan Hunter. And these are people who care. Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, she's on armed services. And this is something that she wants to take up a cause for. On our website, veteransfirstoc.org, we have a letter on there. If people want to go on there and make a copy of that, send it off.
I think we put that letter on our website as well.
Wonderful.
And you can send it off to Dianne Feinstein or Barbara Boxer, your local House representative, and fill in the necessary information and send them a letter. Does that help?
We'll have to find out if it's going to help. But we're going to stay on top of this because this is a very, very important issue. And also that the veterans themselves, besides doing congressionally, we need to help every veteran. I'm looking at your monitor here with people calling in and saying they're having different problems. We want to help these guys. We don't want to just wait till Congress does something. I want to help them now. Yeah. I've been doing this 17 years, and I've never seen it so bad.
Speaking of which, let's talk to Jonathan. Is it because we're fighting current wars that there's such an overwhelming need? I mean, does it kind of catch up when we're not in war?
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. Okay. Let's talk to Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
Yeah, I basically went through the same thing. I didn't do my full 4 years because I was discharged from my injury. I basically snapped the metatarsals in my foot, and then I put basically cracks throughout my bones through both of my legs.
Ouch.
So, yeah, I didn't feel good. So I got discharged, and that happened in 2003. I just now started receiving a 20% disability rating, but I still don't get my GI Bill, and I don't get most of the benefits that I should. Right,
help me out with the 20%, because you mocked, you laughed at that because it's silly low. Explain that to me.
Well, I get 10% for each of my legs, but I didn't get covered for my feet, and now I'm having extreme back pain and shoulder pain. It's pretty much just from what happens when your legs goes on up, but chances are I won't get covered for that because it's not documented, and I didn't go to sick call.
Why does that happen, Dan? Why do they say they won't cover your feet? Or they won't cover your feet,
Dan? I'm sure he'll agree with me on this. While you're in service, it is the biggest stigma to complain about any kind of injury.
Okay, so you don't want to tell us.
Unless you can't physically crawl out of bed, you don't say a thing.
Okay.
Am I right about that? Is that how it was when you were in, brother?
You didn't say anything, so.
And then when you go out to claim benefits, hey, this really hurts, this really hurts. Like, whoa, well, where have you been the last couple of years? You haven't complained about it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, you should have thought about that before you fought for your country, man.
Oh.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad I did it, but it just sucks that, you know, they don't treat the vets that fight for their freedom.
No,
well, it does. And that's why Dan's here today, and that's why Deanne is here today, too. And I'm glad you're starting to get something trickling in, but I hope you'll continue to follow through for the other stuff that you have earned, Jonathan. Thanks for your service, and thanks for the call, too. All right, we have to wrap it up here, but we did put Deanne's information and Dan's information. If you remember nothing else, just remember, hey, go to krock.com. or KevinAmin.com, and you can see all the links that we've talked about. You can see the letter that Deanne put up that you can send to your local congressperson. And just, you know, try to get the word out and try to help the best you can. Anything else we have left out, guys, that we need to mention before we go?
We provide housing for homeless veterans. So if there's any homeless veterans listening and they need help, we want to let you know that in Orange County, we are there for you.
Oh, you guys do amazing
work. VeteransFirstOC.org is the website for that. And you've been doing it for 17 years.
It's
the worst you've ever seen it.
It really is. Wow. It really is.
Wow.
But Dan, are we going to see the Feast of Christmas in a couple of weekends, dude?
Possibly. I'm actually doing a PSA on the 11th for the Armed Services Foundation.
Okay.
That's before pregame on the 11th. It's going to play.
Oh, fantastic! No kidding.
Hopefully.
Good for you.
No adult chocolate milk.
No adult chocolate milk. Those girls remember me. They were at Lady Rose. They remember me.
I'm sure they do. Crazy army guy that drank the whole bottle.
They're surprised I was alive. You're not dead.
Deanne, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
VeteransFirstOC.org. Dan, keep in touch and let us know how this goes. And we look forward to seeing your new teeth in 2020.
Hopefully.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck trying to be as funny as our Veterans Affair chunk.
Yeah, that's important stuff, though. Sometimes you have to do things that are important and you have to stay away from the yucks.
That's shocking. That whole thing was shocking.
It's disturbing to me.
We all
made me angry.
We all operate under the understanding that when they get back, they get taken care of. That's the understanding.
It would seem to be the least
that
we could do.
Right.
It should be priority one, especially in time of war. And I think so many people forget that we're at war because it's been so long and so protracted and so sort of unsuccessful, and people go about their daily business and they put it out of their lives because these people, for the first time, were at war with a volunteer army, where these people are saying, yes, we'll go do it, instead of the government having to come to your homes and take your sons and your cousins and your brothers. These are people who are doing the job for us so that people don't have to be drafted.
And then the government says, thanks for volunteering. Sayonara.
How can we dodge doing the right thing for you? How can we skirt around fulfilling our obligation for your health and for the health of your loved ones?
And we expect that from the Kevin and Bean Show, not from the United States government.
Yes.
Wow.
So, disturbing stuff. While we're talking about the military, Tom Hanks has signed on to do a World War II movie.
All right.
What?
Are you kidding me? I didn't know he had any interest in that.
I find that hard to believe. How would you ever think Tom Hanks would be interested in that time period or that particular historical event?
It's weird.
All right, Tom, we get it. Greatest Generation. We know. They were the best. Okay, moving on. I love Tom Hanks, but all right, enough already with the World War II.
I know.
Steven Spielberg's involved.
Oh, holy crap. Apparently, it is going to be a movie based on the nonfiction bestseller called In the Garden of Beasts. It is a pretty interesting story, however, though. It's about an American family in Berlin in 1933. A guy named William Dodd was the U.S. ambassador to Germany in 1933. And he lives there with his daughter and his family. And he starts slowly to recognize there is mounting genocide going on in this country where he is living. And what does he do? What is the morality of his position? How does he keep his family safe? What decisions does he make? He starts to see Hitler's Nazi party sprout up around him, and he's faced with some very serious questions.
Seems troubling.
Yeah. So, add that to the ever-expanding World War II Tom Hanks collection, and look, could be any worse than Larry Crown, is all I'm saying.
It's true. He's sitting in his front yard, Ralph, selling stuff off. Back to you.
Ben Affleck. This is hilarious. I haven't seen the photos online. Ben Affleck has a very, very feminine tattoo that he needs to have removed.
Okay.
Yes. It apparently is a piece of body art used to cover up the name of an old girlfriend. But it is a dolphin on his right hip.
Wow.
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 If you see the photos, it is just it's this little dolphin swimming through the water, and it's on his right hip. It is the girliest tattoo ever. You have to have that. You have to have someone come with a machete and just take a chunk of skin out of your hip if that's the case. Don't even go to the laser torium. Just go and get it just hacked off.
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
That's crazy.
We got to do fun topic one day. People with guys with girly tattoos.
I like it.
But yeah, my girlfriend wanted me to get a rose on my butt, so I did. But it would be hilarious to hear about the guys who've got feminine tattoos. Because if you're a girl, if you're Jennifer Garner, and you're ready to bed movie star Ben Affleck, oh yeah, he's all man. Let's get in the sack. I can't wait to see see if he starts hunting my Will Goodwill hunting. What? I don't know. Anyway, but you look in there, and he's naked, and you see the dolphin on his hip.
Yeah, wait a minute. Don't hold you?
All right. Doesn't that just, I got to get out of here?
Hold up. What's with that?
Anyway.
And then she points at the tattoo.
Yes.
What the?
Little TV scheduling note. 8 p.m. tonight on CBS. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Mother Effin' Reindeer.
Followed by...
Whatever. The Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. Whatever with that. Rudolph. It's not Christmas until Rudolph comes on.
I want to be a dentist.
Herbie!
Tomorrow we'll have Ralph act out.
I will. I'll do the whole thing.
One man play.
Mom, you got Cornelius! Nothing. Bumbles bounce!
She thinks I'm cute!
Love that. Yeah, then after that, as Kevin mentioned, Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. You see some, some girls walking around in underwear, I guess. If you're into that sort of thing. Yeah. Kanye West, Nicki Minaj, and Maroon 5. Maroon 5 will be on the show
tonight. That's why Kevin's excited.
Kevin's excited because he loves Maroon 5, and he's always asking us to give them love as well. So I just wanted to give them a little love.
Let's give some love.
It is a pretty interesting story, however, though. It's about an American family in Berlin in 1933. A guy named William Dodd was the U.S. ambassador to Germany in 33. And he lives there with his daughter and his family. And he starts slowly to recognize there is mounting genocide going on in this country where he is living. And what does he do? What is the morality of his position? How does he keep his family safe? What decisions does he make? He starts to see Hitler's Nazi party sprout up around him. And he's faced with some very serious questions.
Seems troubling.
Yeah. So, add that to the ever-expanding World War II Tom Hanks collection, and look, could be any worse than Larry Crown, is all I'm saying.
It's true. He was sitting in his front yard, Ralph, selling stuff off. Back to you.
Ben Affleck. This is hilarious. I haven't seen the photos online. Ben Affleck has a very, very feminine tattoo that he needs to have removed.
Okay.
Yes. It apparently is a piece of body art used to cover up the name of an old girlfriend, but it is a dolphin on his right hip.
Wow.
Wow. If you see the photos, it is just it's this little dolphin swimming through the water, and it's on his right hip. It is the girliest tattoo ever. You have to have that. You have to have someone come with a machete and just take a chunk of skin out of your hip if that's the case. Don't even go to the laser torium. Just go and get it just hacked off.
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
That's crazy.
We got to do phone topic one day. People with guys with girly tattoos.
I like it.
So, yeah, my girlfriend wanted me to get a rose on my butt, so I did. But I just it would be hilarious to hear about the guys who've got feminine tattoos. Because if you're a girl, if you're Jennifer Garner, and you're ready to bed movie star Ben Affleck, oh, yeah, he's all man. Let's get into the sack. I can't wait to see what... see if he starts hunting my will, goodwill hunting. What? I don't know. Anyway, but you look in there and he's naked and you see the dolphin on his hip.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Don't
hold
you?
Up. Hold
All up. Right. Doesn't that just, I got to get out of here?
Hold up. What's with that?
Anyway.
And then she points at the tattoo.
Yes. What the? Little TV scheduling note. 8 p.m. tonight on CBS. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Mother Effin' Reindeer. Followed by whatever the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. Whatever with that. Rudolph. It's not Christmas until Rudolph comes on.
I want to be a dentist.
Hermie!
Tomorrow we'll have Ralph act out.
I will. I'll do the whole thing.
One man play.
Mom, you got Cornelius! Nothing. Bumbles bounce!
She thinks I'm cute.
Love that. Yeah, then after, as Kevin mentioned, Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. You see some, some girls walking around in underwear, I guess.
If you're into that sort of thing. Yeah.
Kanye West, Nicki Minaj, and Maroon 5. Maroon 5 will be on the show
tonight. That's why Kevin's excited.
Kevin's excited because he loves Maroon 5, and he's always asking us to give them love as well. So I just wanted to give them a little love.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Maroon 5.
Wow. Awesome.
It was awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays: Anna Faris from Scary Movie and from House Bunny, House Mother, Bunny Mother.
I think it was House Bunny.
Yeah, House Bunny. Yeah. I think. 35 years old today. Brian Baumgartner, who plays Kevin on The Office, modeled after our own Kevin here on the Kevin and
Bean Show. Pretty smart guy, that Kevin.
39 years old today. Frank Delgado, keyboardist for Deftones, is 41. Jonathan Knight of New Kids on the Block is 43. At 43, can you be a new kid on the block?
No.
Well, can you be a kid on the block?
If you could still be a Beach Boy at 65, I guess.
I suppose so. Don Cheadle's 47. Tom Sizemore is 50, as is Kim Delaney of NYPD Blue and Army Wives on Lifetime. Howie Mandel's 56. Gary Shandling is 62. Where's Gary Shandling been, by the way? Doesn't he work anymore? Don't we get to see him in any
movie? He rarely works.
Ever.
He's so funny.
I agree.
And Vin Scully, legendary Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully, is 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Now we got to get together on that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 7 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I don't know what I would do if I were the mayor of a major metropolitan city like Los Angeles and the Occupy LA movement moved into its third month. But I think it would be a problem. It's super expensive for the city to be paying for all the security and police and everything down there. And it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. And every day I feel like we're this close to a riot where I may end up getting a new 3D TV.
Right. I'm just waiting for that. Come on. What's happening? Why is it taking so long?
Lisa, you and I were talking about this earlier this week when there were 1,000 people, maybe more, in the streets out there in front of City Hall, and they were inches away from the police in riot gear, and it was almost like each side was waiting for the other side to do something stupid so that the whole thing could just blow up.
Go ahead, punch me. You punch me.
I did understand that there were some people that were really hoping. You know, sort of the fringe people were really hoping that something would explode because it gets them more press. Yeah. But the majority of them certainly don't want that.
No, of course not. Most people down there are just, you know, exercising their constitutionally protected right to organize and have free speech. But if you're mayor of Iragosa, man, there's a lot of pressure on you everywhere to either end this thing or do something with all the protesters and meet their demands. But we wanted to find out how he is handling it in this tight spot right now. And the mayor joins us live from City Hall, I understand, right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Mayor, hello.
If you could just back up, please, in an orderly fashion. We need to vacate the premises, guys.
He's out trying to move him out. It sounds like.
Hello,
Mr. Mayor. Yes. Kevin and Bean here, sir.
Here, man.
Oh, you sound tired. I haven't heard you sound this bad in a long time. What's going on?
I'm tired, I'm restless, and I'm angry.
Yeah,
it's been a long time, man.
It's been 3 months. I mean, that's forever.
And I sent out the boys in blue. And the SWAT team. These people don't respect nothing, man.
Would you do me a favor and talk into the bullhorn again? I want to hear your voice and your accent. Talk into the bullhorn one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the mayor of Los Angeles here, please just back on up. it. If we could just all go home. You've made your point, please.
Sounds like an accountant.
Never mind. They don't listen.
They're not listening.
All right. Now,
there's the mayor in front of the camera, you know, and there's the mayor when I talk to two guys, you know, because you're my friend. You know, I could be casual. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. We understand.
Okay.
So these boys in blue you sent out, they were the Dodgers or they were the police?
I would never send out the Dodgers like that.
Well, they would
know?
Listen to them, though,
I
I'm saying.
And all my friends, the Click and Kershaw, you know what I'm saying? I would never want to risk them getting hurt because I love them so much.
Right.
I love them like my own mother or the Virgin Mary or something like that.
Wow.
All right. What's going to happen? What's the end game? Because these protesters, almost to a man or a woman, say, we're never going to end this. We're going to keep going until we bring down the 1%. What are you going to do, Mayor?
You know what? I've been trying diplomacy, you know?
Sure.
And I've been trying to be the nice guy.
Has it been working?
I'll say goodbye to the nice guy because I've been talking to you guys, you know, and I got the goosebumps down my back.
Right.
And I'm starting to think like 21-year-old Mayor Better of course.
Oh, no.
So, hey, let's see what they like.
No.
They like it.
No.
Hey, it's time for the tear gas. Go ahead. Yeah.
Nope. Don't tear gas. Oh, come on.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, put that in.
What happened?
Didn't seem to work.
Tear gas didn't work.
No tear gas for you. All right.
Wow.
Mayor of course, that's loading up. Okay.
Oh, no.
Don't shoot people.
You like that?
Don't shoot people.
You like that hippie?
They're not all hippies.
Oh, yeah, you're a beatnik pussy. God, all right.
Okay, that's not the way to solve it.
I don't think that's the way to solve it, but they must be gone by now.
Listen to that. They're still around.
What?
A couple of dead bodies, they just dance around like there's nothing. Okay. Do you want to play rough? Time to bring out the big guns. Let me call in an air raid. Send them in!
Don't bring in an air raid.
Oh, wow. That's an overreaction, Mr. Mayor. That doesn't sound good.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor?
I'd be a little heavy-handed.
Wow, you'd think this would be on the news by now. Mayor Villaraigosa? Hello? listen to the firepower. Mr. Mayor? Is he coming back to us or are we just done?
I don't know.
Mr. Mayor! There can't be anyone left standing.
And, Mr. Mayor, that may not have been the way to handle it. They're gone, though, right?
Go Raiders.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio for a final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin Amin Show. By the way, Ralph, we have been monitoring what's going on in the courtroom, the sentencing of Dr. Conrad Murray.
Yes.
I think the judge is trying to outlast Dr. Murray. I think he's hoping Dr. Murray will die of old age while sitting in the courtroom waiting for his verdict.
Do we have breaking news?
No.
You want to pot it up? Can we hear? Can we listen?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of the judge.
The lies to the pharmacy.
Right.
And to the pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
the sophisticated...
He's been going on for 10
intentional
minutes.
Deception.
Recapping everything that's happened
in
the
that
trial.
Regard.
So the punishment,
the lies and repeated deception.
So you're sentencing him to
those associated with Mr. Jackson.
And for those reasons,
whether it be members of the staff and also members of the production team, AEG.
This is like Beer Mug trying to tell a story.
And Mr. Jackson's personal and professional associates.
4 years. That's it. Thank you for your time, jury.
The continuing series of lies.
Okay, we'll go back to the judge and see how he's doing after Ralph does some showbiz.
It is Tuesday. It means new DVDs, CDs, and TV shows on DVD released today, including The Gorillaz, the singles collection from 2001 to 2011, past decade of Gorillaz. You can pick that up. A new Adele Live CD/DVD set is available. Your Favorite Weapon, the deluxe edition by Brand New. You can get that. Inevitable by Trey Songz. Songs of Anarchy, the music from the Sons of Anarchy, season 1 through 4. The Smurfs on DVD is available today. You can check that out with Neil Patrick Harris and Anton Yelchin and Jayma Mays from Glee. Friends with Benefits, Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. One Day, starring Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgis. Our Idiot Brother with Paul Rudd. Tucker and Dale versus Evil with Tyler Levine and Katrina Bowden from 30 Rock. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm paying attention.
Hold on. I got the judge here.
Busy looking at death.
Hold on. In a vacuum, one can say this may be something that went terribly wrong.
Okay. Thanks for the update, Judge.
So the sentence I've decided is
30 Minutes or Less, starring Jesse Eisenberg and Danny McBride on TV, on DVD. We've got Smallville, the complete 10th season. Somebody save me.
Do you miss that show already,
I miss
Ralph?
That show. I do miss it. I miss it terribly. And there was the finale of The Brave and Bold on Cartoon Network just this past week, too. So a lot of stuff leaving my life that's good. Hurts.
I don't know what The Brave and Bold is.
Oh, come on. The Brave and the Bold.
I don't know what that is. That a soap opera?
No, it's Batman teaming up with different superheroes.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog, guys. Get with it.
Sorry.
30 Rock Season 5 also available in Hot in Cleveland Season 2 if you want to check that out. Here's some potential good news. How about a Flight of the Conchords movie? How would you like that?
Yes, please.
How would you care about that?
Yes.
They definitely left us wanting more after their very brief run on HBO.
They sure did. The director, James Bobbin, who recently directed the Muppets movie, of course, brought Brett in.
Brett.
To,
as he calls him, Brett.
That's Brett.
Yeah.
To write the music and the songs for the Muppets. They've been working closely together. He was one of the creators of Conchords as well. And he says, Jermaine, Brett, and I are constantly in touch. We're good friends. Just a matter of schedule. As everything, these answers are about schedules. But I'd love to do it. They would love to do it. It's just a question of what it would be and when we could. But I'm sure it will happen because we want it to at some point.
We've hit a new low point.
Brett also asked about it at the premiere. Said, we're going to try and do a movie. We just need a story. I'm going to go back to New Zealand tomorrow. Then maybe film it next week, then edit it the week after. I don't know how familiar you are with movies, but there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that happens that would take a week or 2 weeks. Probably about a month we'll have a premiere. So next month.
He's a racist.
He's not. He said nothing racist at all.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's terrible. What have you done?
So we can expect a new Flight of the Conchords movie next month, I'm guessing.
Love it.
You interested in the verdict for Conrad Marino?
Sure. Yes,
the judge is giving it right now.
All right, here we go.
That if there had been some conflict between Michael Jackson and Dr. Murray at a later point in time in their relationship.
That happened.
Started talking
what
about
value
20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago!
Would be placed on that tape recording.
Is he trying to get a TV show? Like
if
a judge show?
If the choice were
to
release that tape recording to a media organization.
I'm sorry for the false alarm. We'll go back to you, Ralph.
Okay. We have a new Q in the James Bond mythology. Ben Whishaw is his name. He's an actor who starred in a BBC miniseries called The Hour that I enjoyed enormously on BBC America this year. He is taking over the role. It was originated, of course, by the late Desmond Llewellyn, who was the original Q. And then John Cleese did it for a little bit with Pierce Brosnan. And now Skyfall, the 23rd James Bond movie starring Daniel Craig, will feature a new Q. It's the first time ever Q will be younger than James Bond. He'll be a young, savvy tech expert who will give Bond his gadget, so we get to check out some of that in the new Bond movie.
It seemed like for many, many years, Bond was the gold standard of introducing crazy new gadgets to the movie world. Do you think that's the case anymore, or does it have so much competition now that it's kind of tough for it to claim that crown?
They still do.
They do.
The thing is, the leap from movie to reality is much more narrow than it used to be. Used to be, you'd put these fantastic things up on the screen. Sometimes there were even realer prototypes of things. And it was unlike anything anyone had ever seen in real life. But now there's so much stuff and there's such a quick turnaround. It's amazing how quickly things that we see in the movies and television say, well, that's cool. And the next thing you know, you can buy it at on the SkyMall catalog or something.
So it's harder and harder to get anything futuristic.
Yeah, it's hard to make anything sort of seem out of the realm of possibility. But they still do it. I mean, Bond, I know one of the Pierce Brosnan films, they had Bond controlling his car via his cell phone. Everybody's like, oh, that's crazy. You're unlocking your doors with your cell phone and doing all that stuff. And it was just a matter of years before you could do it easily. Today's celebrity birthdays. The Game is 32 years old today. Anna Faris is 35. Brian Baumgartner from The Office. He plays Kevin on that show. He's not smart, Kevin.
Move on.
Kevin is not smart. I'm just saying
the
Kevin's not smart.
On that TV show.
That's, of course. What do you think I was talking about?
I'm just clarifying.
He's 39 years old. Frank Delgado of Deftones is 41. Don Cheadle's 47. Tom Sizemore, very talented actor, who has some problems with his appetites for drugs and alcohol.
Good way to say it.
He is 50 years old. Kim Delaney NYPD Blue fame is 50 years old. Howie Mandel's 56. Gary Shandling celebrates his 62nd birthday. And Vin Scully, legendary Dodgers broadcaster, celebrates his 84th birthday. Farmer John. Chavez Ravine. Baseball.
What a great announcer he is.
He sure is. Ralph Garman, I Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Squad. Paramedic Seneff and Blunt. Before you certainly didn't hear it when Dr. Murray encountered Doctors Cooper and Nguyen.
Seriously. Yeah. We were all, everyone in that courtroom was at the trial every day. We know what happened. Isn't the job just to say, I've heard the evidence, I've heard what you have to say, counselors, now it's time for me to render a verdict. That's all that's required here, right?
Here's my sentencing. The verdict's already been rendered. You just have to say how long he's going to go.
I think the judge gets, all angry during the trial because everything's taking so long, and now this is his chance to finally just let it all out.
It's moot. It's moot.
Your Honor. And he doesn't get to speak much during the trial except to keep things moving, right? So he could have a very strong opinion about something.
His moment in the sun.
He can't say it.
Seriously. That's why I've decided 4 years.
Let's hang with it. Let's get a verdict.
Okay. A victim. Not only isn't there any remorse,
right?
There's umbrage and outrage on the part of Dr. Murray.
Watch your language.
Against the decedent.
I know that, Kevin, you pointed out many times that the judge hates Conrad Murray. He's been
seething,
right?
Oh, he hates him so much.
Yeah. But aren't his hands so tied in this if the worst he can do is give him 4 years in prison for killing a dude?
Of course.
I mean, he wants to sentence him for life,
right? But that's his only option besides a long, long scolding.
Was put in this situation because of everybody else's actions other than himself,
community service,
whether it be members of the family, whether it be
all right, maybe sometime tomorrow we'll actually find out what the verdict is. We tried to bring it to you,
Mr. Judge. I have a question.
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the the normal hygienic procedures?
I'd also like the Mr. Judge, I have a question piece of tape for later use as well. That's why Kevin had to give up his law career. He was saying, Mr. Judge.
That's a legal term. That's how they're referred to as Mr. Judge.
They like that. Judges like that when you call him Mr. Judge.
All right. What if we were to come back tomorrow? I know it's unlikely, but what if we were asked back?
First of all, the judge will still be talking.
Yes.
Second of all, Adam Carolla will be here.
Yeah.
This Week in Rage.
He'll still be talking.
Third of all, comedian Doug Stanhope.
He'll still be talking.
Fourth of all, you've been pepper sprayed or tear gassed.
Yeah.
What? Which, happened? By the way, almost everyone in this room has been.
Almost.
I've been twice.
I've never been pepper sprayed or tear gassed.
Well, bring some in. You can experience it.
No, I don't need it. I've never done anything that would cause me to get that treatment.
It's really
good
fun.
You've never been to Occupy LA?
No.
You've never shopped at a Walmart on a Black Friday?
No.
You never tried to rape a chick?
No.
None of those things.
All three of those things I think are good decisions on my part.
What about Rage Against the Machine outside the Democratic National Convention?
No, it's not there
either. Tear gas. Yeah. Rubber bullets. Saving rubber bullets for another day. This is just tear gas or pepper sprayed. And we have tickets. Oh, by the way, Miss Double Decembers continue to come in.
Maybe. One of them's trapped in Atlanta.
And we have tickets for the sold-out 22nd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Beat.